Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, March 20th, first day of spring. Yeah. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, federal agents seized a massive amount of cocaine at the Port of Philadelphia on Tuesday. Investigators could be seen swarming around cargo containers at about 10:30 yesterday morning. Sources say the Fed seized 450 kilos of cocaine at the port. The drugs are valued at $27,000 per kilo. Agents then took the seized cocaine to a warehouse to be processed. This was the second large narcotics bust at the Port of Philadelphia this month. Weeks earlier, agents recovered 600 pounds of marijuana in a shipping container thanks to drug sniffing canines.
Kathy, they also discovered a 450-foot spoon.
What?
Just amazing.
And last month, ICE confirmed that it seized 3,200 pounds of cocaine at the Port of New York. DHS have not said if the bust at the Port of Philadelphia is connected. So not sure if those are connected, but that is a lot of drugs. Mm-hmm. Two men are in critical condition following a double shooting in West Philadelphia early Wednesday morning. It happened at 3 a.m. near the intersection of 61st and Market Streets. Police said that they were notified that two gunshot victims had shown up at Penn Presbyterian Hospital. Officials said both victims are 33 years old. They're in critical condition and both are in surgery. One was shot in the abdomen. The other was shot in the leg and hip, according to investigators. Police say at least one vehicle was hit by gunfire. Police are looking for surveillance video from the area. Now, detectives are also investigating a double homicide in the city's Kensington section where two men were shot and killed late last night. It was an 18-year-old and 26-year-old who were killed Monday night. Both were taken to Temple Hospital where they were pronounced dead. Police are looking at surveillance video from businesses in the area for that one as well. Anyone with information on either incident is asked to contact police. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved the first drug specifically developed for severe depression after childbirth.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. The agency on Tuesday approved Sage Therapeutics' Zulresso, an IV drug given over 2 days. Sage says that Zulresso will cost $34,000 without insurance, plus costs for staying in a hospital or infusion center. So it's not something that you'll go home with. Whether the treatment gets covered by insurance is determined by each insurance company, which also sets out-of-the-pocket costs depending on the plan.
This is great. I mean, because postpartum is scary. And, you know, it's really, really tough to, I wouldn't say diagnose, but to get people to get help for it. If that makes sense.
You hear tons of stories about people who are well along and had no idea they had postpartum depression.
That's the thing. It can be kind of tough to diagnose. I mean, for the person themselves to realize, hey, I'm not acting like me.
Yeah.
Right? Something's really wrong here.
You remember Brooke Shields was a big advocate for that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just really tough. And, you know, I can't. I want to stop short of drawing any sort of parallels as to what it's like. But it really is tough to, like you said, press self-diagnose.
Yeah.
Well, because sometimes
Brooke Shields was in the Blue Lagoon.
She was.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
But
just want to remind people
they go through so much, you know, during childbirth, and a lot of things change. So sometimes they're just like, okay, well, my body's still changing.
And you're told about the hormones and all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, I guess it's just part of the deal. And then a lot of people find themselves in a long funk. Who's the actress from Heroes? Who had it for
Hayden Panettiere?
Hayden Panettiere had it for like a year plus, and then in fact, it broke up her marriage.
In a company-funded study of new mothers with moderate or severe postpartum depression, half of the women given Zulresso had depression end within 2 days, about double the rate of those in comparison groups given dummy treatments. Postpartum depression affects about 400,000 American women.
Hey, by the way, we gave you the dummy treatment. Hope you feel better. No, I know they need a placebo and to test it.
Guess who's stupid?
Yeah,
you are. We fooled you completely. Yeah. We never even gave you medicine.
Dummy.
It often ends on its own. It often ends on its own within a couple of weeks, but it can continue for months or even years. It can be treated with antidepressants, which can take 6 to 8 weeks to work and don't help everyone, or with counseling. The drug's most common side effects were sleepiness, dizziness, and headaches. A few women had more serious problems, such as fainting and loss of consciousness. Because of those risks, the FDA said it is restricting Zulresso's use to certified healthcare facilities where patients can be closely monitored throughout the infusion.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, Sage plans to begin selling the drug in late June. In sports this morning, oh! J.J. Redick finished with 27 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists as the Sixers held on to beat the Charlotte Hornets 118-114. Last night for their 5th straight win, Ben Simmons led the Sixers, who improved to 46-25 with 28 points, and Jimmy Butler added 23 and 9 assists. The Sixers are back at it tonight with a game at home against the Boston Celtics, and Joel Embiid is expected to return to the lineup. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. The Flyers' playoffs hopes are starting to dwindle. Brendan Gallagher, Shea Weber, and Max Domi scored goals. Carey Price stopped 32 shots, and the Montreal Canadiens earned a 3-1 win last night in South Philly.
What the f*** is this?
With only 9 games remaining in the regular season, the Flyers are now 5 points behind Montreal and 6 behind Columbus for the final playoff spot. The Flyers are on the road tomorrow night with a game in Chicago against the Blackhawks. Center fielder Mike Trout and the LA Angels are finalizing the largest contract in professional sports history, a 12-year deal worth more than $430 million that will crush previous records and could keep him with the Angels for the remainder of his career. The 27-year-old, who grew up in South Jersey and has won 2 American League MVP awards, will receive an average of nearly $36 million. The $430 million plus total is more than 30% larger than the $330 million deal Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies earlier this month.
I saw Jim Gardner yesterday on the news go, well, why don't they just give him the team?
Yeah.
Give him the whole team. Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
At that point.
$400 million.
And a year less, too. Yeah. I bet you that was part of the negotiation. Yeah, we'll give you more for a year less.
Crazy. Phil Martelli, the winningest coach in St. Joe's Hawks history, has been fired. Martelli, who is 64 years old, has been the head coach of the Hawks since 1995 and was an assistant coach for the previous 10 seasons. In a statement, the school said today St. Joseph's announced its decision to make a leadership change in its men's basketball program. The university will immediately begin a search for a new head coach with the goal of filling the position in the coming weeks.
It sucks.
During his time as head coach, the Hawks made 7 NCAA tournament appearances and 6 NIT appearances. They had a historic season in 2004, winning their first 27 games en route to the Elite Eight behind the star backcourt of Jameer Nelson and Delonte West.
Yeah, I had heard rumblings of this actually a little while back, and rumors that maybe Jameer Nelson was going to be the next head coach.
I was wondering, is there a possibility that he could go to Temple?
No, it's going to be Aaron McKee was supposed to be the Aaron.
I guess that's right.
They were kind of grooming him for that. Hey, can you put that back on? I'm not done yet.
That's all you get there, Kev.
And speaking of Temple, another Big Five coach's career has come to an end as Fran Dunphy and the Temple Owls lost last night in the first 4 games of the NCAA tournament.
Part 2.
Belmont got its first tournament win, pulling away with an 81-70 win over the Owls and ending Dunphy's career. Dunphy is retiring after his 13th season at Temple. He previously coached 17 seasons at UPenn. And that is what I have for you this morning.
First time we've ever run out of music.
I know.
Sports.
Listen, there's a lot happening.
There's a ton of sports.
Two coaches gone. That's
yes, Kathy, I was saying to Preston earlier, our whole Papa Shot challenge is now...
It's going to be changed.
Yeah, dramatically. Yeah.
I feel bad in a couple of regards because, Fran's last game and these both happening on the same day. They kind of overlap.
Yeah.
Number one, I hate seeing Phil be let go. I mean, the guy's been coming on our show since the very beginning, maybe even the first year that we were on the air together.
Put St. Joe's on the map.
Yeah. And then we knew that Coach Dunphy was going to be retiring. We had talked to him about that at Camp Out for Hunger, but it was a bummer to have both of these things happen on the same day.
Both worldly known good guys.
Yeah, and no question.
I read a story last night about Phil Martelli, and maybe if we talk about it later, I'll share it with you guys. But Deuces Rogers put it on his Twitter feed last night, and basically there was a snowstorm in 2002. Nobody was able to make it to the game. Phil came out. All these kids were drunk and playing in the snow. He handed out thousands of tickets, and the place was packed because Phil himself walked outside to hand out these tickets. It's a cool story.
He's something else. He is. Maybe we'll open up about that a little bit later on. All right, today, and we are open, on a day when we really don't have any guests on the show, we have a lot going on today, and you will want to be a part of this because there are several things for you. Number one, going to start with a secret text word today, okay? We have a chance for you to win Dunkin' Iced Coffee for a year.
Yeah.
With our secret text word. And that is up and running now. So text the word secret to 39333. We just have one of these to give away today. So we're not going to grab a random texter. We're just going to ask for you to call in later on with the secret text word when we tell you to call in. And our designated caller are going to win win all those coffees for an entire year. Now, on top of that, Casey, I don't have any official information, but do we have free coffee here this morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our friends from Dunkin' are going to be stopping by
One Bala Plaza. We'll tell you when. But they're going to be set up. We'll have to find out exactly where. But I think in our parking lot. And you'll be able to come by. And since it's the first day of spring, free iced coffee today.
That is so cool.
How about that? So I'll get you the details when that is coming up. We have Delilah stopping by today.
What?
Their Entertainer of the Year event is tonight at Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. And the ladies will be by this morning.
Oh, you have women here, too?
And steaks.
I was here for a steak.
So they will be here, and it's one of their biggest events of the year. And they're always great when they pop in. So we'll tell you when the hottie cam is up and running, when those ladies are here.
But that's not it, right?
We also have an announcement to make about a Preston and Steve event that I think you will enjoy. We'll get you the details. I'm going to hold off on that. But it's a party. It's all there is to it, and we'll tell you. More about that a little bit later on. So those things, and I know I'm missing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have another thing, which I'm going to hold off announcement-wise. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now, but maybe we'll do it after the entertainment break.
Yeah.
A little thing that we whipped up together that we're going to begin tomorrow that we'll need your help with. So it's a morning of announcements. It's a morning of free stuff. I think that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, man.
Damn good.
So we'll take a break, come back in a second. I've got the entertainment report all set up, a stupid question with some giveaways. We'll be back in just a moment. Hang with us this morning, if you will, please.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or HandandStone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
5:58 p.m. That's Nick pulled up the official information.
There you go.
So that is when spring officially begins. I'm going to do a stupid question. We will give away today a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook. He's going to be at the Met on Saturday, March 30th. Question I have for you this morning. In The Lion King, the movie, what is Simba's mother's name?
Of course, we immediately know the dad, but that's right. What's the mother's name?
All right, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. What is Simba's mother's name?
And it's not mommy.
It's not mommy. No, yeah. It's her official name. Let's see if you know. I'm going to go through some birthdays today, Wednesday, March 20th, celebrating a birthday today. The lead singer of the band Franz Ferdinand, Alex Kapranos, celebrates his birthday today. He is 47.
I like this band.
Years old today.
This is the only song that I know?
Yeah, it's the only one I know.
They have a couple of catchy tunes.
Yeah. I do love this song when it comes on, because you never know when Casey's going to do his little magic dance.
Yeah.
Coming in, you don't really do it anymore.
I don't. Nope. You know what? Because it's getting old, Chris.
The old knees are giving out?
I may have to, you know, dust it off from time to time.
Do you think it's time to teach an apprentice?
No.
Okay.
No, you're not getting old. You just think the bit is getting old.
The bit is getting old.
I got you. Okay.
I still love it.
So you just wait for it.
But we just expect
Are seltzer bottles old? Pratt balls old? I don't think so.
So Alex is 47 today. Moving on, William Hurt, great actor.
Yes.
Is 69 years old today.
So many good things.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll be in the next Avengers movie somehow or another.
He could be.
Do we know his fate at the end of the last one?
So he's in The Incredible Hulk, and he was in, Civil War?
Civil War, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's in The Last Avengers, Infinity War. He's the hologram when they come back from Wakanda. He's hanging out. He's not actually in the room with Rhodey, but Rhodey's talking to him, and they're talking about treason, and then Rhodey just kind of wipes him away.
But he's been in so many good things over the year. I mean, the years, Body Heat, Altered States, The Big Chill, just on and on. And The Doctor is a great movie, Steve, I love.
I love The Doctor, and also Children of a Lesser God.
And you know what else he is in is Broadcast News, and his co-star in that movie, Holly Hunter, celebrates the same birthday.
Hey.
Do you think they put them both in the movie because of that reason?
I think that is the main reason.
Who has the same birthday?
That they were put in that film together.
Oh, you can act too?
So he's 69. Holly Hunter is 61. The most recent thing with her, The Incredibles 2, is Elastigirl.
So good.
Uh-huh. And she's great as well. You got to love her.
Steve, you were saying that there is more extended scenes in Is it Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, Batman v Superman. About a whole another half hour, you get a little bit more explanation of her. She's the senator who's fighting Luthor.
I love her line. You know, you can piss in a jar and call it Granny's peach tea if you want to, and then later on she sees it.
Right, yeah.
The big jar of pee with that label on it in front of her. She's at the hearings. She's great. 61 today. What is that from?
That's from Raising Arizona. I thought that was the one where she was crying.
That's not her. That's
no. That's Sean Goodman and the other dude.
The guy we had him in studio.
But they were in a movie with her.
Uh-huh.
They were.
Yeah.
So there we go.
No, I know what you were going to play there.
I love him so much.
That's a great movie.
After just abducting the child.
All right, so I've never seen that movie. Is it great?
Yeah, it's
Who
really
made
good.
It's real quirky. The Coen Brothers. Yeah, it's very quirky and in their style. A lot of great camera angles and cool things that happen, and they're goofy characters.
Yes, really good moments to a very good film. I like The Big Lebowski, you know, better, but I think it's great.
I use Raising Arizona kind of as a personality litmus test. If you don't like that movie, chances are we're not going to be good friends.
One of the best scenes in that, which is sort of a real cast off, is when Nicolas Cage is going in to buy little toys for the kids.
Yeah.
And he goes, you have anything like fun shapes? And the guy behind the counter goes, we got balloons. They're round. If you think that's fun.
It's just circular.
You got a panty on your head, boy. There's a lot of great lines.
Here we go. I love him so much.
I know you'd be on it.
I love him so much.
I know you do.
So happy birthday.
I know you do.
Holly Hunter. John DeLancey, who is Q from The Next Generation, Star Trek The Next Generation.
He was on the first episode and the last episode and many episodes in between.
I was happy to see him pop up in a small role on Breaking Bad while I was watching that, too. But he's one of those character actors.
He is.
You just see him here and there.
He the creepy doctor in The Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
He is.
Yeah, yeah.
At the beginning of the movie, yeah. He's 72. Oh, that was
Q. That's
his audition.
That's Q. Spike Lee has his birthday today. Spike Lee is 62. Most recently, Black Klansman.
Did you see it?
I did not. I haven't. I haven't watched it yet.
It's really good.
Is it good?
It's done in a stylized version that Spike Lee, the way Spike Lee does his stuff. But Adam Driver is actually really good in the movie.
Nice. 62 today. Hal Linden. Why did I mention him the other day?
We were talking.
I accidentally said his name. The drummer.
The drummer, yeah.
Hal, damn it. Now all I have is Hal Linden on the brain. But that the great drummer from the Wrecking Crew, Hal Blaine.
Yes.
Had passed away, and I said Hal Linden. At the very end, when we were wrapping up our tribute to
almost him. Got out.
I know.
No problem.
But I always liked Hal Linden. Barney Miller.
Great drummer.
He's a great drummer. He's 88 years old today.
He was a bit of a sex symbol, believe it or not, during the Barney Miller days.
Really?
Older women.
Wow.
Dug his mustached ass.
All right. The great Bobby Orr, Hockey Hall of Fame player, is 71 years old today.
Great drummer.
He's not a great drummer. Well, I don't know. He might be a great drummer.
Why not?
He is a great
crossword puzzle clue.
Bobby Orr?
Yeah.
O-R-R? Yeah, you're right. It's like, you know what another one is? Is a three-letter ones. There's a lot of those the same as all. Yeah. A-W-L.
A-W-L is a good one. Blank West. Singer.
Oh,
Blank
May. May West and Boa, as in, you know, like Amazon Serpent.
Yes.
Oh.
Boa.
Yeah.
B-O-A. So anyhow, Bobby Orr, great crossword puzzle clue.
And apparently a serpent.
Hell of a drummer, 71 today. The great Carl Reiner is 97 years old.
Was it Rob Reiner's birthday just a few days ago?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
Are they related?
They are father and son, believe it or not. But, yeah, great comedy writer, director, actor, 97 years old today. And
he's some of our favorites, Preston. He did The Man with Two Brains. He did Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Yep.
The Jerk.
The Jerk, oh, my God.
And he also did a great movie with Dick Van Dyke about a silent film star that's really kind of sad about the decline of a career. It's called The Comic.
Okay.
Really good.
Acted late. I don't know if he does anything on film any longer, but the Ocean's films. He was in all those. He's 97 today. Pat Riley. NBA coach is 74.
Did he ever have the ungelled hair? The un
I don't know. It always looked pretty
slick,
like a
back,
like a very determined coif to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the last birthday is hottie actress Ruby Rose.
Oh.
Orange is the New Black, John Wick Chapter 2, and the new Batwoman. She is 33.
And birthday. She's good.
Yeah. She's good.
She's a singer, too.
Is she?
Is that why? She's in Pitch Perfect 3.
She's in Pitch Perfect 3, but Case, I don't think that's...
Okay.
I don't know. It may be her singing, but I haven't heard anything about
her. She was a dancer. You didn't like her in John Wick 2.
Yeah. No, she was a dancer. Jinx, oh my God, call me.
Me.
All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The Disney film Lion King... What is Simba's mother's name? 215-263-WMMR is the number. So we're going to go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great, Cindy. We'll do even better if you can tell me what Simba's mother's name was.
Sarabi.
Sarabi.
Yay!
That is correct.
Sarabi.
Hang on a second, Cindy.
I would not have known that.
We get your info, and we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Mr. Dane Cook. But we'll be at the Met on Saturday, March 30th. Some tickets remain, and you can get those at Ticketmaster.com.
Preston, does Sarabi ever remarry after the death?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know the fate of her.
Ended up becoming Sarabi Hanjabi. It was her last name.
Sarabi Hanjabi. Hey, days after slamming the tabloids over reports that she attempted suicide, Paris Jackson is lashing out at the paparazzi who, she says, make her life hell. She said, this is a post, or she tweeted out, parks at gas station, waiting for my boyfriend to pump gas. Closes eyes to listen to favorite song. Paps take pic and zoom in so you can't see that I'm parked and accuse me of falling asleep at the wheel, she tweeted.
So she's in the passenger side of the seat?
No, boyfriend was pumping gas.
Oh, okay, so she's just hanging out with her.
She's sitting there.
All right.
She's, you know, getting into a song and closing her eyes, and she's behind the wheel, and it looks like she's falling asleep at the wheel.
It's actually a pretty crafty shot.
And then she writes, when will they stop? This past week, it's been nonstop bull S. I'm so sick of it. On Monday night, Paris also appeared at Netflix's The Dirt premiere with her boyfriend,
There are a lot of people there.
Gabrielle Glenn, and she looked stylish and relaxed. There were a lot of people there.
Yeah, you know who else was there? Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of celebs.
All of the attention and the rumored suicide attempt and subsequent reports that loved ones are trying to get her into therapy comes on the heels of the HBO documentary about her dad, Michael Jackson. Several family members have come out objecting to the film, and Paris is among them, but she has also said that it simply isn't her role to defend his legacy anymore. So she's having some issues with the paparazzi. Wendy Williams is getting real about her struggles with drugs. The Wendy Williams Show host revealed on Tuesday that she is living in a sober house.
Yeah.
To help understand the struggle that fellow recovering addicts grapple with. So she made an announcement. I caught a little bit of... Do we have it?
We do.
Okay.
It's a little weird.
Yeah,
because just from the statement that you said, she's living in this house to understand what... She's living in this house because she's an addict.
Yes.
That's why. It's not some grand experiment or some undercover investigation.
Yep.
She's living in the house because she's a recovering addict.
So here is her talking about that.
Well...
And she gets very emotional in this.
For some time now, I have been living in a sober house. And you know, I've had a struggle with cocaine in my past. And I never went to a place to get the treatment. I don't know how, except God was sitting on my shoulder and I just stopped. Nobody knew. Because I look so glamorous out here.
Ugh. I looked so glamorous.
Listen, she's having issues with drugs. I hope she gets over that. I can't stand looking at her.
Okay.
No. I just,
Does she always look like that?
Yes. She's had something done.
A whole bunch of stuff done.
Yeah.
Because
she was a naturally attractive woman, I always thought.
Cyborg had less work done.
But I hope she gets the help she needs.
Absolutely.
And
only the best for her and the best wishes for her recovery.
I personally think she's kind of an a-hole. I always
Well, we had heard that.
Yeah. And so she was apparently a freaking nightmare on the set, and the crew on the show loved it when she was away. Now, if she was a nightmare because she was addicted and was dealing with all those issues,
might help.
Maybe this can help that.
Listen, if you're suffering, don't come to us for sympathy.
Listen,
if you're a nice person.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And we gave some words of encouragement, even though we say categorically, horrible looking.
Here's her describing her routine, but she talks about being glamorous and she's got that football-sized diamond on her hand.
How you doing?
Yeah, all right, here we go.
After I finish my appointments, I am driven by my 24-hour sober coach back to a home that I live in here in the tri-state with a bunch of smelly boys who've become my family. Doors locked by 10 p.m. Lights out by 10 p.m. So I go to my room and I stare at the ceiling and I fall asleep to wake up to come back here to see you. So that is my truth.
That is her truth. So before she opened up on the show, she revealed that no one else knew what was going on besides her husband, Kevin Hunter. She said, nobody knew because I look so glamorous out here.
Yeah, that's the same thing with us. People don't know that we suffer inside because we always look so glamorous.
It's hard to look past the glamour.
Oh, my God.
It's almost like a suit of armor,
There's
Steve.
A person behind this veneer of glamour that I have all the time. And I know people say, oh, there goes glamorous Steve.
No.
Not even thinking that maybe that day I cried.
They have no idea.
No idea.
That there's a soft human
being. Drives me crazy.
Inside
there. They're the glamour boys.
Do
glamour
I not, please?
She said, after I finish my appointments, I am driven by my 24-hour sober coach back to the home that I live in the tri-state. Oh, she already said all this, so.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the revelation comes after she returned to the show after a two-month break that she had previously said was due to Graves' disease. She concluded encouraging fellow addicts to call the organization that she and her husband founded to help fellow addicts, the Hunter Foundation 24-Hour. 800-5-HUNTER is available if they need assistance, she said, revealing that they've already helped to place 56 people in recovery centers.
So
I hope that's nonprofit.
On this one angle, Preston, so, okay, yes, and obviously we do wish her the best. Her entire show is gossip about this and drug people, who's doing drugs and blah, 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 blah. And she's done that for years, and she's been pretty vindictive a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, but listen, if this means she's cleaning the slate and she's going to get her life right, that's fine.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
And she's unattractive.
Yep.
Jeez.
She's messed up her face. Yeah. All right, moving on. Game of Thrones.
I'm trying to balance it out there, folks.
The Game of Thrones plot twist has forced star Kit Harington into therapy, he reveals in a cover story with Variety. Yeah, the 32-year-old also reveals his struggle with life in the white-hot spotlight thanks to the fame that he has achieved through the popular show. He said, it wasn't a very good time in my life. I felt I had to feel that I was the most fortunate person in the world, when actually I felt very vulnerable.
Oh, my God.
I had a shaky time in my life around there, like I think a lot of people do in their 20s. He said that he hit rock bottom when his character Jon Snow became the focal point of the show. He said, my darkest period was when the show seemed to become so much about Jon. I really didn't like the focus of the whole show coming on to John, even though it was invalidating my problem about being the weak link because things were about John. He said, when you become the cliffhanger of a TV show, and a TV show probably at the height of its power, the focus is the focus on you is effing terrifying, he said. So it was a bit much for him. Nowadays, he's doing fine, though. He said, it's like when you're at a party and the party's getting better and better and you reach this point where the party is peaked, he said, and I don't know what I could do. I'm sorry, what I could find more from this, you realize, well, there isn't more. This is it. And the more that you can find, it's actually in the work rather than the enjoyment surrounding it.
What? So it's a lot of, I have no idea. There was apparently a lot of stress coming down on him because he felt he was, he didn't want to be the focus of the show.
Yeah.
I wonder when they told him his character was going to die for a little bit, that, how they gave that to him and what was his reaction? Much better knowing that I don't have a job.
Yep. So the final season premieres on April 14th. He said HBO went balls out, I think the term is. He said they could have easily...
Is that the new king?
Set the same budget, balls out. Of the Iron Islands.
Balls out.
No.
I lay it on the line. They tell you the truth. I always have my balls out.
Lord balls out. they could have easily
set... Mrs. Queen Cooter.
Set the same budget as they did for season 77, but they went bigger.
Green flash the hash.
He said, the end of John's journey, whatever that may be, I was satisfied with how his story ended. So
there are so many promotional things involved with the wrap-up of this. I sent you an article today. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. So it pertains to, I'll let you read it and impart the news, but there are things being left around the planet, basically, like little Easter egg things and gifts for fans.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I'm on board.
I'll let you impart it.
That's right. Preston and I were reading off air yesterday about all of the stuff that's getting set up for the prequel for the next series.
So, how soon after the end of Game of Thrones will the prequel kick in?
I don't know, but they haven't really started production yet. They're just doing it in the casting. Yeah. Stages right now.
So I buckled really quickly. I was about 4 or 5 episodes in, and then I was like, and I was watching 50 million other things at the same time. So I figure I'll just let it wrap up, and then I'll catch it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the prequel will take place thousands of years before this particular story. So.
Wow.
Is there any book to back that up, or is this just made up?
There's like a compendium.
Okay.
That I have that Beth Gardner had bought me, and it's called what is it called?
Stella Got a Groove Back.
No. That's completely different. It's Angela Bassett. It was so the story of Game of Thrones is called The Song of Ice and Fire, and I forgot the name
about.
Of this book. It's called something like The History of Ice and Fire. But anyhow,
Dog and Butterfly.
It no, that was Hart.
God damn it!
Who did that song?
You are not helping.
So anyway,
it's literally the opposite of helping because when he starts firing those things out, your brain can't work.
I'm trying so hard.
You are not.
Essentially, Nick, the framework of that story is all there in this compendium book.
Okay.
So, but no official novels have been written, as far as my knowledge.
So this is basically a time long ago to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I got it.
It'll be, you know, it'll cover the origin of the Targaryens and all that stuff. So anyway, other things to get to. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle continue to support those who have been affected by the shootings in New Zealand mosques. On Tuesday, they appeared at the New Zealand House in London. And they signed a book of condolences, left bouquets in the victim's honor, and said some nice things as well. Now, despite having been a member of the royal family since 2011, Kate Middleton had never had a solo appearance with Queen Elizabeth until Tuesday. Meghan, by the way, has gone on solo appearances with the Queen. She did it a few weeks after her wedding to Prince Harry. But Kate and the monarch toured a high-tech university in central London as well.
Then he did it was a wonderful day because they had pictures. I was looking at it on the Daily Mail. Manny Petty's and the Nye Fly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was nice.
The feels of a plague. We're not even in the tube yet.
I got to get back over to Nye Fly. By the way, Nick found the book. It's called A World of Ice and Fire.
There you go.
That's the one from Game of Thrones. If you want to learn all about the world of Westeros and everything involved in that, what?
Nothing that Steve said.
Yeah, nothing.
At all.
I think I was pretty close.
I wonder.
Dog and Butterfly is a nice song.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very pleasant, but.
I wonder if there's a contest there where, like, you're given, like, moderately tough math problems and see who can figure it out first with Steve talking in the background.
Oh, distracting you?
Yeah.
That's a great contest.
I'm basically Simon Legree with the railroad tracks dynamited.
Yeah.
We have to do that. That's a really good contest.
I'm basically a human, jumbler, the device we use to garble words?
Oh, the speech jammer.
Speech jammer, yeah.
All right, so what else do we have here? Soap legend from Young and the Restless, Christoph St. John, had passed away due to heart disease and an accidental alcohol overdose.
Oh, my God.
I know, that's sad.
The guy had been on soap operas for years.
Yeah, the 2-time Emmy winner was found dead on February 3rd. Excuse me, survived by his fiance. And he also had a daughter named Paris and another one named Lola. He was preceded in death by his son, Julian, which is horrible.
So we were
he was buried beside him.
We were down in Florida, Preston. I just happened to, during the day, I was back at the hotel, you know, I was trying to get all glammed up, you know.
Yeah.
And, and I didn't realize there are still a number of soap operas on CBS.
Yeah, they still, there's still a fair amount that run. 50-year-old Patricia Arquette jokes that she is ready to find herself after playing Dee Dee Blanchard, a woman with Munchausen syndrome by proxy, in Hulu's real crime series, The Act. We were talking about this yesterday. Dee Dee's teenage daughter, Gypsy Rose, helped murder Dee Dee with her boyfriend's help. And that's because, if you remember, Dee Dee was forcing her daughter to act as if she were disabled and sick and dying.
Yeah.
And they got all kinds of free stuff and attention and things like that. It was a very bizarre, real story.
Dee Dee used UPS to make her mother DOA.
She said, you usually don't get that interesting of a part as a woman, that complicated. So I think that's part of it. And she was talking about why she jumped on the role so quickly.
She gets a lot of good work.
Into another crazy woman role after Denimora. Arquette is quick to note that she can be a bit of a crazy woman, too. She said, if you saw my pack rat piles, you would question my scruples. So she admits being a little nutty.
So we have a hair change. Thank you to Marissa.
In the world of entertainment, it's a huge happening.
Yes. Channing Tatum is kissing his famous brunette hair goodbye and saying hello to a surprising blonde
dude. What is that?
Very tight cropped blonde.
He almost looks like a little bit like the hair he had in that Jupiter Rising.
I didn't see it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Some people are saying he looks like Eminem.
Yeah, actually a little bit more Eminem. I think you're right. Yeah.
So like Zac Efron, Chris Messina, and Maluma before him, the Hail Caesar actor is fully embracing his blonde strands and new haircut.
Maluma is Mekaleka High's sister.
Huh? Okay, I was wondering who that was. Taking to his Instagram stories, the 38-year-old star surprises his 17.1 million followers with a jaw-dropping look. He wrote, bad idea, or he said, ha, 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 alongside a poll that says yes, no.
Oh, well, how should we vote?
I don't know.
I'm going to vote, listen, it makes him look much younger.
So you say not a bad idea.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
No. It doesn't look terrible. It's probably for a movie, right?
I think so, right?
And who cares?
He hasn't indicated that.
Okay.
But when you're that good looking, you can do whatever you want to your hair, and you will be fine.
Don't I know it.
God, could you imagine being that good looking at where that didn't impact, where every little thing you didn't do just didn't exacerbate the horror you are?
Yep. Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
I can't.
Like, I never look at myself in the bathroom mirror because that particular lighting really brings out the mistake I am.
Not until you get glammed up, anyway.
Then I get glammed up.
Then you have the lights on around the mirror and the whole deal.
And that's it. That's the that's the lie I'm living.
Yeah. So glam up, gang. While Tatum doesn't disclose if his followers voted in favor of his new do, he does follow up his previous Insta story with a simple statement. He said, well, bad ideas are sort of my thing. So, and he left it at that.
So what?
You know, you're supposed to make that next part
up. Damn, I don't know. I never played that.
No.
We're still waiting.
So Dog and Butterfly is what he wrote. Late Late Show, James Corden has been recruited to host the 2019 Tony Awards, which he's done before.
It'll be good to get back to an award show that actually has host.
He won a Tony himself in 2012 for his performance in One Man, Two Governors. And previously hosted the Tonys in 2016. He said, I'm thrilled to be returning to host Tonys. The Broadway community is very dear to my heart, and I'm beyond proud to be a part of this incredible, special night. It will be at Radio City Music Hall June 9th, and nominations are announced coming up April 30th. Another new poster for Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood dropped yesterday. This one features Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate. On Monday, the first poster with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio came out.
I wonder what that was, because I saw another one for the new Tarantino movie, and all it had was this this elephant with huge floppy ears.
That's Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Yeah.
Entirely different movie. Danny DeVito's in it. It's about an elephant.
Oh! Well, that makes sense.
So,
it's a flying elephant, man. I gotta kill people.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is set to be released on July 26th.
I wonder how this is going to be tonally, because if it's going to be Pulp Fiction-y, is it going to be more straight ahead because it's sort of based on a real story?
It's a good question.
You know, because it is, it's a series of murders. It's set against the Sharon Tate's in it. Are they following sort of clinically the time leading up to the murders, or
I don't see Quentin doing that.
I don't see that either.
At all. He's got to put his own twist. I mean, look what he did with Inglourious Basterds. I mean, it's a World War II movie that has completely fantasy outcome to it and murders that didn't happen, so he did his own thing. But I don't know, Steve. Maybe if
I were betting, he's using that murder
as a backdrop.
As a backdrop to that time in LA.
Yeah. Maybe, like, you remember Summer of Sam?
Same, yeah, exactly.
It was happening, but it was not the
focus of the film.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so it was more of a back.
It was happening in the back against the backdrop of the Summer of Sam murders.
He is such a good filmmaker. There is that one scene in Inglourious Basterds where the German guys and they're eating strudel with Shoshana.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to kill him for the way he eats that strudel. Oh, my God. It's gotten to the point that I just can't watch that scene anymore. Because I get filled with so much rage.
Christoph Waltz eating strudel or Sean Connery eating steak in Red October 2.
Ooh.
We could do most annoying eating moments in the movie. We could do that.
Because I also have another thing that's not an eating thing that's currently driving me out of my skull. Okay. And it's along those lines. It's not eating. Are you watching Jeopardy? the current champ is such a goddamn overclicker.
Yes, oh, really?
I know, Steve.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's so effing annoying.
You know, well, maybe
by that, you mean with the signaling button. Yeah.
Okay, so I was talking to somebody on Friday night when we were down in Clearwater, and this guy's wife was on Jeopardy. And he told a story about the fact that she never got the clicking timing down right.
Yeah.
And that's why she lost. And so I think that I've never been on Jeopardy, but there is actually like a light that lights up and gives you a countdown that you have to click in, and you cannot click before, and you cannot click, it'll take you.
Is that it?
If you click early, it'll penalize you by a half second.
Because I know Alex. Oh, does it? Yeah. Because I know Alex always finishes the question. That's part of the deal.
But there's a part where you can click in where that light stops, but if you do it before then, you're penalized for it.
And by penalized, it means like you're locked out.
You're locked out.
Well, listen, the dude's the champion, man.
It's a woman.
His technique's working for her. She's the champ.
And honestly, Preston, she's on the way to probably being
one of the best.
Stratospheric.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, anyhow, we may.
Sean Connery's a loud eater.
Yeah. I'll give us one chance in three.
Do you mind if I eat like this? Now it's time for mashed potatoes.
Oh. What about him? He sounds kind of similar to Caitlyn Jenner a little bit there.
Mind your manners. You got a little bit of borscht on your lip. And your goatee. Jesus Christ, what did I marry?
Oh, my.
You know, I never saw you in the light of a submarine.
All right. And then
I'll get the torpedoes. Caitlyn Jenner.
Blood tubes 2 and 3.
Hunt for Red October. Read them and weep. I'm so happy being a Roshki. As they're listening for that whirring sound of that particular type of engine, they're hearing.
Yeah.
Hey, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's got to be man-made.
Yeah.
Oh, sort of.
Yeah. There's got to be a semen joke in here somewhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's filled with Russian semen.
Let's clear that tube.
Last story.
Exactly.
After months of teasers, the full first look at Toy Story 4 has arrived. The trailer's out. Did you guys get a chance to see it?
I watched it. I love the concept.
Yeah.
Just to bring you up to speed, you know when you're a kid and you make your own toy?
Mm-hmm.
A made toy, a toy that the kid made that the other toys are with, goes missing. Yeah.
Comes to life, goes missing, and the toy is a spork. And just wants to be a spork,
and that's
too.
It. Wants
to be a toy.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. So, of course, the trailer stars Woody, Buzz, Jesse, Slinky Dog, Rex, Ham, and others. In it, the crew is setting into life in Bonnie's room, which they were left to.
Right.
When Forky comes in and sends old and new toys on a road trip. Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele are also joining in the fun this time around. Annie Potts is back as Bo Peep.
She's great.
Which is great. And this will be debut in theaters on June 21st, by the way. Who is going to... Who's voicing Slinky now? Because...
Don Rickles passed? No, he was a Potato Head.
He was Potato Head. Slinky Dog was...
Jim Varney?
Jim Varney, yeah.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Morgan Freeman, Preston.
I'm
a Slinky Dog.
Let's see if Nick is pulling.
I'm a tar.
A lot of returning guests. I think Don Rickles is in it. I think they did his voice parts before he passed.
What, did they use Voodoo?
No, they have... Oh, that's Mrs. Potato Head.
Slinky Dog is a guy named Blake.
I'm the slinkiest of dogs.
Blake Clark, yeah.
All right. So it's not a tough impression to do.
And Bud Lucky's in it. Bud passed last year. And he's a legendary Disney animation guy.
So oh, yeah.
He did the Alligator King, and we talked about him when he passed.
And in the Incredibles, he's the agent.
Yes.
That clears their memory
he
and
did
stuff.
A Pixar short called Boundin', which is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not the guy who's the library detective in Seinfeld. Am I thinking of somebody else?
You're thinking of somebody else.
I'm not really sure. So June 21st.
Dog and Butterfly.
That's when it comes out. June 21st, and the trailer's out if you do want to see that.
And we just talked to Christina Hendricks. She's in it as well.
Who is she?
A new person named Gabby.
Presti.
Oh.
Boozy.
They show the, in the trailer, they show the, it's one of the toys in the new area where Bo Peep is. So.
You know, but in classic style of Toy Story, Preston, they always have some disturbing imagery, and there's a shot of some ventriloquist dummies coming out of the dark.
I hate those things.
All right, we're ready for clips. Let's do them.
All-American follows an all-star high school football player from the South as two worlds collide after he's recruited to play for Beverly Hills High School. In this clip, Daniel Ezra discusses the character's journey.
I think just to see how he navigates the two worlds of Crenshaw and Beverly Hills. People might be surprised that, you know, we don't just stay in Beverly Hills. We move back and forth quite frequently. You know, it's almost a 50-50 split between the time we spend. And watching him try to find his place both in Crenshaw and in Beverly Hills is for me, one of the most exciting parts.
Well, you'll have to excuse me because I have to use the bathroom.
So the All-American season finale airs tonight at 9 a.m. on
the show. The season's wrapping up already.
Yeah, the season finale is 9 a.m. Wow, it's ending and it's on in the morning. I have no idea.
It's ending this. It's beginning and ending the entire season this morning.
No, 9 p.m. on the CW tonight. let's do the next clip.
I don't even... Just, it. No one watches it anyway, so just dismiss that.
In Us...
Glowing review. Yeah.
In Us, a family's simple lives are turned to chaos when a tribe of doppelgangers begins to terrorize them. In this clip, Jordan Peele talks about the deeper meaning of his new film.
In its core, this movie is about the fact that them is our enemy. As people, we blame the other. We blame the invader, the mysterious neighbors, and perhaps the true enemy, the true villain... is us.
Yeah! Interesting. Premieres this Friday, by the way. Looks really good.
It looks really good at 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. And you know what is off to a good start? Pet Sematary is at 92%.
Excellent. Yeah. Looking forward to that. All right, there you go. It's your entertainment report this morning. A couple things to let you know about. We have free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year for a secret text word today.
Whoa!
So text the word secret to 39333. We're going to send word back to you. Later on, we'll ask you to call them with that word, and the designated caller wins free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year. And by the way, they have $2 medium iced coffees all day long. But if you stop by... today, One Bala Plaza, when we tell you, we'll let you know when it's up and running. But we have our friends bringing by the Dunkin' Cruiser outside our West Lobby and free iced coffee today because it's the first day of spring.
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
I love free stuff.
So when that is up and running, we will let you know. Okay. And we have a couple of announcements today, too. We got one's party, one's a fun thing. They're both fun things, really.
One water, one drink.
Yeah, one drink, one water. No, she was a dancer. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. We have all this information to reveal through the course of the morning. Oh, and we're going on TV, too. We'll do a little Fox Good Day hit. We'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR.
You guys got any papers or winter sheets or anything I can borrow to put around here?
What?
Some more?
You have to see it.
It's ridiculous.
Jesus. I mean, it's a good problem to have. It's when we have a lot of stuff to give away, I have all of these sheets of information laying around the mixing console, but it gets a little muddled and hard to keep track of everything. I've just got a pile of them with all of the free coffee and
the other day, Preston,
stuff we have coming up, the announcements.
You were saying you didn't have enough, you know, like, and now we got too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is when you've been away a couple times and, you know, and I've handled some of the bulk and split it with Casey and I'll have sheets over here and you end up playing like information solitaire,
yeah.
Where you're like moving on. No, this is more important. No, that, and it becomes this nightmare.
Yeah, but all right. Anyhow, but it's loaded with stuff to give away, and that's a good thing. So we have some announcements coming up a little later. We will get to those in a little while. Interesting story that popped up last week. We didn't get a chance to get to it, but it has to do with honeymoons. After getting married, people going, and listen, we've talked about honeymoons before. Do you go immediately after that?
Right.
The ceremony's over the next day, maybe wait a couple of weeks or a month or something, let things settle down a little bit.
Do you bring your girlfriend?
You bring your girlfriend along with you because that can be expensive. But apparently there is a new trend that is starting to take place. Now, I use that term lightly. I don't know how many people are getting on board for this or not, but they're doing a solo honeymoon trip. A solo moon.
Huh?
So on Instagram, almost 1,500 posts display this new trend where newlyweds decide to vacation alone or with friends after the wedding rather than with each other.
I was reading about it. And so the mindset is you spend so much time with each other that it's a time to sort of go off and clear your mind
To me, it spells disaster.
It does for me as well. Right? It does for me as well.
It's like another bachelorette party.
But apparently it's getting traction.
You know what I didn't know in reading this article about it, which was from CBS locally, CBS 3. In the early days of honeymoons, the early 1800s, that was actually a time for couples. The part of the reason why they did it was to travel and visit relatives who couldn't make it to their wedding.
Ah.
Oh, no kidding.
Interesting.
So, hence the getaway real quick and go see people as a new married couple.
I could see that being the case. Because FaceTime didn't work back then.
Right.
No.
It was scattershot at best.
It was embryonic.
They're just doing the marriage tour is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, all right, we're going to go say hello to all these people at the table.
Right? What are you doing? Yeah. We got married, Paul. That's great news. Go feed the chickens.
So it is more, all right, so now it just carries on as just a tradition, but to me,
go ahead.
I was going to say, to me, it just looks like, you know, all those days leading up to the wedding can be very busy and stressful, that it's a way to go, okay, it's done. We did it.
I agree.
I agree.
You know what's interesting about marriage in general and the reason why people would travel to go see friends and relatives that weren't able to make it was what a big deal it used to be. I mean, it still is a big deal for people to get married, but I mean a full-on, like, if you didn't get married, there was something wrong with you.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for women, because it was such a male-dominated lifestyle that your chances of surviving on your own were very low on being able to financially support yourself and
Listen,
stuff like that.
Marriage is a wonderful thing. That's I got married twice.
You did, didn't you? Did it twice. So nice. You did it twice.
Nothing wrong with me.
But anyhow, there's a doctor that was checked, eyewitness news checked with Dr. Rita DeMaria from the Council Relationship. She said, in general, keeping the spark of romantic love alive can happen for a lifetime, but people have to know how to work it. She says, calling a non-romantic trip a honeymoon is a bit misplaced. She said, if they need a vacation because it fits their lifestyle, but having a honeymoon and calling it that, it's just a romantic idea.
So reading in a couple of different articles about this, Preston, so it's sort of a zen distance makes the heart grow fonder. You take a pause and blah, blah, blah. It seemed more like a mental cleaning thing. But I think if you position it as all the trappings of a honeymoon, but without the other person, or like a bachelorette party, or that can be an issue. But I think, don't you want to go on the trip together?
Well, suppose you go through so much. It's so stressful. And, you know, there's a lot. It's very hectic. There's a lot to do during wedding planning, that it's a way for the couple to then relax and enjoy
and
their
breath.
Time. Yeah, take a breath and enjoy their time together. If you need a vacation away from each other immediately after your wedding,
last. I need a break from you.
Oh, yeah. But you know what I forgot about, Steve? What? Bros before hoes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
What bride won't acquiesce to that?
Exactly.
I understand.
Because it says
bros.
It says going away with your friends as opposed to going away.
No, that's the bachelor and bachelorette.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Before misters. Preston, I've been married so long.
Wait, sisters before misters?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You go, girl.
I honestly thought you said fisters before misters.
Fisters, same thing. Works. Not, works totally. Yeah.
I've been so married,
I've been so married.
That I forgot about bros before hoes, man.
You can't forget. No, I...
Could you see it as a sort of walkabout? Not a walkabout, but a going by yourself.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
And pick up women when you get there.
I know. I couldn't see doing that. My wife and I did not do the traditional honeymoon thing.
Neither did we.
We didn't do it immediately after. We waited several months. And then we took a trip to California where my uncle has a house in Carmel. And other family members met us out there. Now, we stayed in a really beautiful location. It was cool. But we weren't alone. We were there. We were staying at a family member's house with other family members there. But we called it our honeymoon.
So you went back to the roots. You visited the people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what we did. We couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Pa, Preston's here. He's got something to say. And,
we just did this.
I married a city girl, Pa.
We did the traditional go to the Caribbean and hang out, you know, on an island by a pool and a beach.
With a volleyball and doing your dental work with the bottom of a skate.
But I will say that when we were down there.
That's from the Castaway.
Castaway. It's a movie, Kathy.
When we were down there, it was, you know, like basically like the Northeast just moved down there. And I actually became friendly with some people from Philadelphia. And you
kind of hung out with other people anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
No, I just think in a I do know what you mean. In a classic way, though, for me, I think for many people, for many years and years and years, the honeymoon, as Kathy said, is the time you've been through all this morass of stuff and the planning and the execution. The honeymoon is your, you can take a breath and just spend some quality time with the person you just, you know, decided and in front of everyone said you're going to spend your life with. And you're getting off on that foot. It's your sort of reward for all the tumult involved with putting together a wedding.
I've had a few friends who've had destination weddings over the years. And sometimes those destination weddings turn into a post-party with all of your friends slash honeymoon. So the people go away on the destination wedding to go see, to spend, you know, to be in Italy or the Caribbean or wherever.
I could even see that.
And then, but then they, I can too, but then they stick around for the honeymoon portion.
In the bedroom.
Not in the bedroom. No, just on the same
you're
resort.
You're going to do it?
Which to me is like, even well, that's see, a little
the,
odd.
The destination weddings I've been to, the couple they've left and gone, like to a different island or a different country.
So
to,
they've already gone away for the wedding and then they go even further away.
Right. Well, yeah, like they'll just kind of, you know, island hop or whatever.
You
go
guys
to a different
stay
island
here,
so
we're
that
going
they
over
can,
to Mykonos to hump.
So that they can, yeah, they can be together, but it ended up where everyone was at the wedding, stayed at the resort for a few more days, so we all hung out and they left for their honeymoon.
All right. But I wonder which in the couple pitches this idea first. You know,
so,
I was thinking... Uh-huh. You know, and
while the index finger's running up and down the back of the couch, I was sort of wondering,
you know,
yeah, because that reaction better be good, because why would you want to do that?
Yep, exactly.
To me, that's the road to that is a tough deal to broker.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, maybe this whole idea about doing your solo moon, is that what they're calling it?
They're calling it a solo moon. Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't spell disaster. Because we all will go away without our spouses from time to time.
My wife travels a lot.
Yeah.
But now we're married and we did go on our
You've
quote-unquote
also been together honeymoon. Yeah, for 20 years.
Yeah, 20, yeah. Yeah.
That's but, the thing.
But yeah, so I'm just saying, like, there are other people that doesn't fly in some households. Like,
oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, at all, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Honestly, we would have gotten divorced years ago because my wife loves to travel, A, and B, my schedule won't allow it. Yeah. And we finally just said, listen, go do it and enjoy it. And once you realize that you don't have to be surgically attached to I adore my wife.
Yeah.
She adores me. At least that's what it seems to be. She loves the hell out of me. So go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fine. But some people think, well, you gotta be together all the time. Now, If a marriage is falling apart and there's a lot of traveling, that can be the road to disaster.
Sure.
I feel like people who are getting married and don't go on the honeymoon, like kind of like you did, Preston, you finally went somewhere. You did go somewhere.
Yeah.
But like I've known people who are like, yeah, we're not going to do a honeymoon after the wedding. And then they never go. And like I almost feel bad for them. You know, like I want you to go away. My brother's getting married.
Go away.
My brother's getting married. And that's what they're doing. And I'm like, I just hope that you do actually plan something and that you don't, you know, have this big whole wedding and then you don't go away on a honeymoon.
Do it before you have kids, too,
because
then it becomes very, very difficult to get away. Yeah.
Because when you come back, you might very well have the beginnings of a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some people can't afford the honeymoon. Some people can't get the time off of work for the honeymoon as well.
True.
That's the same thing. My brother.
That's what malls are for.
Yeah.
They're paying for part of the wedding themselves, and it's, you know, it's just not in their budget right now. But
where are you going on your honeymoon? KOP.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, when we did our honeymoon, we selected where we were going to go, and then our in-laws afterwards said, we're going to pay for your honeymoon, which was really, really great. And I think they did that ahead of time. They waited for us to choose where we were going to go.
Midget town.
So that when they, you know, what if they revealed to us ahead of time, we're going to pay for your honeymoon? And we're like, okay, well, we'll be back in 6 months. We're going to take a trip around the world, you know? So what we chose was something affordable.
Thailand.
Regardless, yeah.
Jack, talk to.
So how do you guys feel about this? I have a friend who is a little bit older, is getting married, has a house. Her and her fiancé live together. They have all the things that they need in their house already.
Right.
So when you have a shower and things like that, you register. They don't have anything to register for. And so she's like, I don't need all of this stuff. I have it already. So they're registering for a gift card for their honeymoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Sure. You've eliminated selecting something on a list where people go, do they have this blender? Should we get this?
Yeah.
A. And then B, it's something that they'll enjoy.
That they'll enjoy. But traditionally, you know, there are some probably older people that want to buy a gift, want them to open it up
this
in front of
nonsense.
Them.
And,
yeah, you know, but
I
want to
get
anything.
Him sweet hot champagne glasses.
Kathy, I actually love that idea.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
My friend's actually registered at REI, which is very interesting.
That's nonsense.
Seems nonsensical, but they wanted to, you know, they're outdoorsy people, and so they were registering for, like,
and go outside. No.
Sorry, Gramps.
But still, there's a perfect example. If if that's something they like, on the other side of the wedding, when you're buying the gifts and stuff like that, it's a night, you know, I don't know what you need or what you really want. You put this fruit bowl on the want list. Okay, I guess I'll get that for you.
I'm married and divorced, and I registered for stuff that never got opened. And it sat in the garage in my old house. I don't know if my ex-wife ever, you know, opened it ever. But to me, like, I would much have rather registered for at REI or travel.
Right. And something you'd use.
And now it's just probably, you know, up for auction or sitting in storage somewhere.
Would you ever have considered any, with the notion for all of us here, a solo moon?
No.
Right?
No.
Would you, in your marriage right now, Preston, if you said to Rochelle, I'm gonna go hike the Grand Canyon. I'm gonna go do a thing by myself.
No, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. No, but you and Casey went on a golf trip together. Sure. You went on a
and
man
I went
trip.
To the Grand Canyon without my wife. But again, because she doesn't, what I did, I really wanted to do, and she had
zero desire
to do that, and she doesn't want to hold me back.
And that's it. It wouldn't be, you can't go on this trip. It's like, I want to do this. If you want to do it, that's cool, but it's not your thing, so
agreed.
I'd like to do it. Can I go do this?
Yeah.
And you can come along, too, if you want to.
Right.
You don't have to go.
I'm cleaning out
you're speaking in Morse code.
For Lent, I'm cleaning out my basement and house and just getting rid of junk that's in there.
Oh, it's such a clutter. Anyway, go ahead.
Nick, I found something that was on my registry that was never open. It's in my basement in a bag. Perfectly fine. It's a steamer.
Oh, really?
A steamer?
So what are you going to do with it? You're gonna try and use it now
that
you've found it?
I'll tell you what. Last year I bought two steamers. So I now have three, and I just found one in the basement. No, I don't know.
Let me ask you for next year's Pollyanna, or this year's Pollyanna, who's getting a steamer?
I want to have, I think we all talked about it, is to have like a re-gift party where you actually bring something that could be.
We've done it.
And swap.
We've done it. Yeah. Okay. We've done it.
All right, because I might have some silver and china for you that I could bring in.
Some crystal stemware?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that stuff you never opened up?
Well, what's the point of having silver and china when you're divorced?
Well, I told you, when we got married, my wife and I got a very generous gift of a $25 gift certificate to an art museum where the only thing we could get for $25 was like keychains by the register that said the name of the museum.
Right. I'm going to go to a couple calls real quick. We got to move along here. I want to go to Mary. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Egg pictures.
Hey, what? What's up, Mary?
Not much. Talking about the honeymoon, about going to see a family.
Yes.
When I got married, I actually took a honeymoon a year before the wedding.
Okay.
We actually took a cruise to Key West. We did that an exact year before the wedding.
So you did a pre-moon. So we have a solo moon, we have honeymoon, solo moon, and pre-moon. Okay.
You went on vacation.
Yeah.
That's all. You just went on vacation.
Well, not really. She went with the person she was marrying to relax.
No. I went on trips with Claire before we got married. I didn't call them pre-honeymoons. They were just trips.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, back in October, I took my aunt and uncle with us on our honeymoon to Massachusetts.
How long have you guys been married?
Well, I'm divorced now.
Ah!
But we were married 9 years and together 18.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Interesting. But you took family along on your honeymoon.
Yes. And then my mom, when she got married the second time, she actually took her aunt back home to Pittsburgh because she got married down in Levittown, but her family's from Pittsburgh.
So I'm just enamored of the idea of taking a cruise to Massachusetts.
No, we took a cruise to
Key West.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were taking a cruise. I'm taking
dog and butterfly.
6 day.
Dog and butterfly.
6 day cruise to Massachusetts.
Appreciate it.
All right. So is by her reckoning, like every time I go on vacation with my wife, we just call it a honeymoon.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's our fifth honeymoon.
Yeah. Or every time you get married.
Yeah.
Like, honey, I'm going out on a solo moon for milk.
Yeah. So Preston and I have been on a couple of honeymoons down in Florida. Golfing honeymoons. Mm-hmm. Those are nice.
Yep. We did have our honeymoon moments.
We're taking a quick weekend honeymoon.
I don't know. What's the difference between taking it 6 months before she gets married or 6 months after?
Because you're not married.
It's not a honeymoon until you get married.
It's not a honeymoon until you're married.
I disagree. Dictionary.com and find out what a honeymoon is, because if it says there officially that you can have a honeymoon before you're married, then I'm with you, Kathy.
Besides that, Kathy, if you do that, you might have sex.
Oh, right. That's
and
right.
You should not do that until you're married.
Okay.
Wikipedia has it listed as a vacation taken by newlyweds immediately after their wedding to celebrate their marriage.
Well, then 6 months after wouldn't be a honeymoon.
So it's about celebrating your marriage. Well, yeah, it says immediately. So it says,
immediately? Well, time is, fluid.
It says the honeymoon. Today, honeymoons are often celebrated in destinations considered exotic or romantic.
Thanks for the info.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me go to Lexi. Hi, Lexi. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I'm calling.
Oh, thanks. Aww. Welcome on board, Lexi. What'd you want to tell us?
I'm getting married in May. And I haven't heard about this honeymoon where you go separate without your spouse. So
yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And the amount, we're going by a budget. So I've been reading up lately how much a wedding costs.
Yeah.
And the average price is $33,000. If you're doing a honeymoon twice.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys think about how much an average trip costs nowadays. So that's.
Yeah, it's,
I don't know.
It's probably cheaper for two to travel together than two trips solo, don't you think, maybe?
Well, you can probably get a deal. It's probably more difficult. But it, with this, also on that matter of the cost, I don't know if it matters to a lot of people. I always was of a mind, have a nice wedding. I've been to very expensive weddings, and I've been to very budget weddings.
Yeah.
And they're all essentially the same thing, and some of the best times I've ever had have been at the real budget wedding. My wife and I had a destination wedding with about 20 people in Puerto Rico, came back and threw a party for like 100 people.
One of the most fun weddings I ever went to was 60 couples got married.
In one shot.
And that was so pretty cheap.
I mean,
and
there you go, right?
It was a blast,
Yeah, I hope we do that again, because that was awesome. Steve, my cousin is getting married in Cabo, in Mexico this year, and it's an expensive trip. I don't know if I can afford to do it this year, but that's one of the ones where, like, to me, it'd be worth it if it falls into the budget and I'm able to make it happen, because it's nothing but family. It's a destination wedding.
And when that happens, by the way, you don't expect a gift from the people traveling. That's
that's a whole other question.
Yeah. What is, I'm sorry?
Like if there's a destination wedding, that basically going to their wedding, paying to get there is the gift, that you don't actually have to give a gift. But the last destination wedding I went to, everyone gave a gift. So I was like, I can't be the only person that doesn't give a gift.
Mm.
I had to.
Give your flight voucher.
Yeah. Seriously, the receipt from my flight. God,
what if you go on a honeymoon and it's the first vacation you've taken together and you find out that you just don't travel well together? Or you just end up
hating each other.
I know in the eyes of the Lord, it's not good. But live together.
Yeah.
You really should. Honestly, just for a little bit at least, find out those things. I didn't know you had a rattlesnake.
You know what I found out when people go to hotel rooms for
This is my comfort alligator.
What's that? Wally.
Yeah. Is that people can be very, very messy in their hotel rooms. Like, I am not.
I hate it. My old agent, God bless him, Lou Stevens, passed away. Think John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, my God, what?
Like underwear in the sink.
I couldn't believe it.
We would share hotel rooms to cut the cost. We were out touring, you know. Oh, my God.
I was on our honeymoon. Funny. We became friendly with couples or whatever. And this guy was like, hey, do you want to go smoke pot in my room? I said, yeah. And then so we go to his room and.
Take your pants off.
I'm not wearing pants. Already took them off, kiddo. No, it was the.
You love the word kiddo now. It's your new word.
I told you that. Shut up, kiddo.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
But the room
you're
was.
You're smoking pot in a stranger's room for sex.
Yes.
Get to the point.
That's why I don't do that anymore, Steve. It led me down a dark alley, and I was not happy. I was not okay with that.
All right.
That wasn't even rock bottom.
Yes, doctor, I pooped last night and blood came out.
That wasn't your rock bottom.
The point I'm trying to make is their room was a absolute mess. And I was like, who the hell lives like this?
I know it's crazy, Kathy. You would love my hotel room is...
My hotel room looks like my house.
It is set up and clean. And
Casey, Casey makes fun of me because I use the drawers and closets.
I do too.
I do. Love it. When we travel together, he's like, "Are you putting your clothes in the dresser?"
That's a little anal. That's taken it to another level.
See, no way.
Yes, it is.
Listen, you take everything. Now, not for our trip to Clearwater. We were there for like a hot second. I did not unpack, but you put everything in the drawers and the closets, and then as you wear it, it goes back in your suitcase.
That's what I do, Candy. It helps. Easy. Keeps my dirty clothes from my clean clothes.
That's what I do. So I'll take.
Let's go away on vacation together.
I take the dirty clothes if I'm going to take them, and I put them in the drawers because I figure I don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
But in my bag, I know that's clean.
Yeah, dirty clothes just end up in a folded pile somewhere in the room. Preferably
in the laundry bag.
A corner.
You were just talking about people making a mess in the room, and here you are throwing clothes all over the floor.
A guy a handy for some pot.
Did you hear me? I said a
Here you are telling
pile.
Us you gave your ass up for some free pot.
And let's be honest, you don't fold your clothes.
What's that?
Let's be honest, you are not folding your clothes.
Let's be honest, yes, I was.
I don't
call my brother.
Wait a second. Just minutes ago, you were telling us how you gargled some stranger.
Oh, my God, Steve.
It just keeps getting worse.
He wasn't a stranger, Steve.
Acquaintance.
I had known him for 3 days.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, we have to wrap up because we got to go on TV. We got to go on Fox Good Day.
I'm sure we'll be talking about this.
Maybe. I don't know what we're going to talk about with him. But Solo Moon is something that is starting to catch a little bit anyhow.
Yeah.
With newlyweds, and they want to take off on a honeymoon on their own without taking the significant other.
Our consensus? Dumb.
I don't think it's a real honeymoon. All right. Anyhow, we got to take a quick break. We're going to do that very thing. We will return in just a moment. And the ladies of Delilah's have just arrived to join us on the Hottie Cam. They have their Entertainer of the Year party going on tonight, by the way. And there's a lot of things going on. I'll get you the details. But in the meantime, you can jump on the Hottie Cam right now at PresidentSteve.com or on your app as well, the MMR app. We're going to take a break. We'll go live on Fox Good Day in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, The Warhawks. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, The Warhawks. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Yeah. Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse ladies are here. We have Cece and Mia and Cassandra, who are on our Hottie Cam, and they're here to promote tonight's Entertainer of the Year party. Guest host will be Simone Danilustris, a four-time Miss Nude Entertainer of the Year.
Well, there are your credentials.
Three-time Miss Nude Go-Go of the Year and two-time Miss Nude North America.
That's a lot of nude accomplishments.
That's a lot of nudity, yeah. And they'll have six amazing performances by Delilah's Most Talented Girls competing for the title of Entertainer of the Year. And there's select open bar and gourmet hors d'oeuvres. It started at 7 o'clock, so you can reserve a table for bottle service if you want to. Contact Christy at Delilah's.com or call 216-625-2800. The extension is 0. So the ladies have all that information, by the way, and they're putting it up on the Hottie Cam while they're doing some entertaining.
They do a great job.
On the camera.
Always
they
do.
They are the best by far. So take a look when you get a chance. I would like to do a butt plug, if you don't mind.
Meaning plug a charity.
Do we have the full song, or are we just having the effect?
We could. It would take Casey a moment to get the song ready to go, but I have two of them, so maybe we need to do a little.
I think so.
Fanfare,
a little bit of presentation
set up, and I have some personal butt plugs that I
are they currently in? Or are you gonna?
No, they're
they're just announcements.
They're on the way.
Yeah, they're on the way.
Yeah, they're announcements, but I don't have all the information yet. I'll get to my personal butt plugs a little bit later on.
Butt plug. Yep. Butt plug. Here's some butt plugs loaded up with deets and info, man. Charities can email us and we'll do what we can with a butt plug. Yay!
Yay! Hello. All right, this is from a longtime listener and is a police officer. His name is Vic Machese. I'm not sure how he pronounces his last name. He's a police officer in North Coventry Township Police Department. He said, my department is looking for the public's assistance in raising money to aid in the funding for our new canine. This is a very important, it's very important and a needed asset to our department as well as the surrounding jurisdictions. Any assistance, I would greatly appreciate. Thanks in advance and gadzooks. And he says, loyal police listeners. So there's a GoFundMe page and they need to raise $15,000. As of this morning, they only had $750.
Whoa.
So I sent that over to Nick.
Yes.
And that is now up on the community page of PrestonandSteve.com. So very easy for you to find. And then I got another one and this has a story behind it. This is from Nate Kranick. I believe it's how you say his last name. He said, there's a fundraiser we're having on April 7th. A very good friend of mine, Beth, tragically lost her 9-month-old son in October of 2017 due to complications from the flu. She and her husband made the incredible decision to donate his organs to hopefully give life to someone else in need.
It's incredible.
But fast forward to a month ago, Beth found out she urgently needed a heart transplant.
Oh, wow.
She's a 38-year-old athlete who is otherwise healthy, and this came as an incredible shock to her family, husband and 8-year-old daughter and 5-year-old son. The great news is, she received a new heart last week, but now begins the long road to recovery and the continuation of some extremely high medical bills. So they have an event, which is coming up in Lansdale April 7th, and it will take place at CJ's Doghouse, and it's from 2 to 8 p.m. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. That's on Sumney Town Pike in Lansdale, and that is going to be on April 7th. So just a heads up. And that information is on PrestonandSteve.com.
The incredible stuff. And by the way, I got the just the teaser information, and we'll get the rest of the information, but the Brad Fox 5K is coming up on April 6th. So
okay.
That'll be coming up. I'm going to get more of the info from the woman who's organizing the whole thing. And
is that the one in Warminster?
I believe it is, yeah. So just to put that in your calendar.
And they renamed one of the roads out there. I think that it's part of the 5K.
Yeah.
But it's like Brad Fox, you know, lane or road or something.
Sure, yeah.
And I have three separate walks and runs that are coming up, and I need to start promoting those. So I'm going to
be charity season.
I'm going to be hitting that a lot, and I know it's a lot for you to take in. But if you can participate, you know, a couple of them are for Crohn's disease. One is for why am I having a brain?
Walk a mile,
which is for. Damn it.
Laurel House.
Yeah, you're Preston. Okay. That's Steve.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Right. You have three weekends in a row. I was checking your own personal schedule, but they're all good causes.
They're great.
Yeah.
And listen, they're fun.
We do our best to impart all this information, and we thank you for bearing with us. But if this, by getting these announcements out, it helps the attendance. You had two very touching butt plugs there, Preston. I know that seems a weird thing to say, touching butt plug. Uh-huh. But, if you just bear with us, some good can be done.
Hey, and by the way, registration for the Tour to Shore, and it's now called the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour, is now open. So you can join Team WMMR if you are so inclined. If you go to my Twitter, you can go. It's a pinned tweet, so you can register for the team there.
It's awesome. And these are all, as you said, these are some of these are very fun things, activities that you might be doing anyway, and you could end up doing the very same activity and benefit some people.
Do you guys mind if I do a quick shout out?
I'll kill you. No, go ahead.
All right, so this is a shout out from Aaron Perez, my boyfriend, Aaron's boyfriend, not my boyfriend.
I met him in St. Lucia.
Yeah. He's a great guy, very gentle.
Let you smoke some pot in the hotel room.
Anyway, Keith Bartling is turning 40 years old today, and she would love to give him a shout out. So he is a huge fan of MMR, Preston Steve, and it would mean the world to him. The longer, the wetter, the better,
she says. All right, let's do a full one.
Oh, a full one.
Yeah, okay. You said it.
All right, I did say it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Wow. Oh, there's usually a little squirt at the end.
Oh, I have
of
to
that.
Switch pages to do
oh,
that.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I was waiting for that.
Technical constraints.
All right, we're all cleaned out.
Took a high colonic.
We're not going to go on Fox Good Day today, by the way. There's some technical issues. But we are going to do the Bizarre File and then an announcement right after that. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by the LLS Big Climb Philly. You can join Nick and Team Luke on April 13th for the LLS Big Climb Philly. Team Luke will climb 47 floors to the top of the FMC Tower to help find a cure to cancer. Join Team Luke or donate at bigclimbphilly.org. So an Arby's manager is facing felony charges after an employee claims she pepper sprayed him and chased him with a knife.
Wow.
That's not an employee handbook.
No, no. You're supposed to just use the pepper spray.
So according to a police report, an employee, Ernest Point DeJour, claims that...
That's not a real name.
He and Akins got into an argument on Saturday at the Arby's. This is Lateria Akins, who is the manager. After she asked him to stay late. When he refused, the two reportedly exchanged words, and the conversation got heated. Co-workers say that Point DeJour was angry about not being released from work and got very close to Atkins. And that's when Point DeJour claims that Atkins shot pepper spray into his eyes.
Mm.
When he ran out of the store, co-workers claim that Atkins grabbed a long kitchen knife and chased after him.
Is that what you call negotiating time off?
Maybe. Although Point DeJour wasn't stabbed, Atkins scratched up his car with the weapon, so she was arrested. Police say a man shot himself in the foot Tuesday morning because he threw a shoe at a cockroach.
What?
Yeah, I'll explain. The 50-year-old man apparently saw the bug from across the room, took off his shoe to throw it at the nuisance, but apparently his revolver was still inside the shoe, it says.
That's where he keeps his revolver?
And discharged after hitting the ground.
I know what probably happened.
The fired bullet came back and struck the man in his foot.
He probably has guns in his shoes, so when he tap dances, he can fire.
Okay.
And that's just a good... No, what he probably did was just sitting down relaxing, had the gun with him and just popped it in the shoe.
I don't know. Yeah, the man who uses a wheelchair was inside the home at the time of the accident. His condition is unknown at this point. Next time you're in the Social Security office in Port St. Lucie, take note of sweatpants strings flying in the air. James Terrell Williams was arrested March 5th after accusations he was pleasuring himself in plain view of federal employees that were assisting him with a disability claim. The case began...
You must really like this claim.
When deputies...
You are really impressed.
Help myself.
Wow, the bureaucracy at work is such a turn-on.
The case began when deputies went to the government facility for a disturbance. While there, deputies were told about a man later identified as Williams at window number 4 in a neighboring hallway.
You know, there's just one time in a hotel room with this guy I just met.
He was said to be pleasuring himself near a federal worker helping him with a disability claim. It's uncommon for people to pleasure themselves near federal workers helping them with a disability claim.
Well, I hope so.
And a woman identified as the victim said she saw, quote, strings to his sweatpants flying in the air. That's a vigorous...
You're pounding away.
Yeah.
You're cranking away.
The woman stood up and reported getting a clear view of the situation, which, according to the affidavit, left absolutely positively 100% nothing at all to the imagination. Investigators said that at the time, Williams was out on bond from the St. Louis County Jail. Or St. Lucie County Jail. So he was out on bond at the time when he decided to do this. He's listed as homeless. He was arrested on charges of indecent exposure in public and disorderly conduct and taken back to jail. It's unclear whether he got his disability claim filled, though.
Did he complete?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I love this story. I was telling Steve about this morning. Of course, Florida. Just had a story from Florida. The Sunshine State gave us the cases of the armless man accused of stabbing a tourist, the woman who was shot after performing a sex act for Pringles, and $5, and the man who was jailed for giving his girlfriend a wet willy, and the woman who chased her parents with a knife because they refused to take her to Outback Steakhouse. These are all Florida stories.
Florida.
So the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, a minor league baseball team, will celebrate Florida Man Night.
No way.
On July 26th. Yes, the AA affiliate of the Miami Marlins has been pretty tight-lipped about the promotion, but they did promise Jacksonville will break a weird Florida law in every single inning.
I love this.
It's a great idea. Absolutely.
Florida Man. Florida Man.
The Jumbo Shrimp also confirmed Lane Pittman will be in attendance. He is the Florida man famous for standing shirtless and shoeless in the middle of a road blasting Slayer's raining blood as his hair and Old Glory blew in Hurricane Matthew's Hurricane 2, Category 2 Force Windows. You remember this guy?
Yeah, I do remember him.
He was
him,
just
yeah.
wearing shorts and holding the American flag.
Kind of a celebrity.
It was pretty funny. So he's going to be there.
Of course.
And they're going to do that. I think that is a brilliant.
We need to take that idea.
Brilliant. I agree. I would love to do break weird Pennsylvania laws every day for a week. Yeah. We're going to work
just
on
our
that.
Luck. The first one we break, we end up in jail.
Maybe. Here's a follow-up story. The Indiana man who accidentally shot himself in the penis and scrotum has been charged with carrying a handgun without a license. Mark Anthony Jones is facing a Class A misdemeanor weapons charge in connection with the incident. A decision to charge Jones was made this month by the prosecutor's office after police forwarded the case for review.
Well, Your Honor, I shot my balls.
Jones is the subject of an active arrest warrant, and he suffered an accidental self-inflicted gunshot injury while walking on a street during a hospital interview. Jones told cops that he had a high .9mm handgun tucked in his waistband. When the weapon began to slip and it was not in a holster, he said he reached down to adjust the gun and it discharged.
Why would you tuck? We're assuming they're tucking it up front.
Yeah, yeah.
At least tuck it in back. Shoot your ass.
The bullet entered just above his penis and exited his scrotum.
I want to make sure the barrel's pointing directly down at my ball sack.
And there you go. That is what I have in this morning's Bizarre File for you. I got some other great stories, saving those for a little bit later on. How about an announcement?
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Now, this is very exciting.
It's been a little while.
It has.
So that's why this is exciting. But we are stoked, especially Kathy, that we are having another, and I'll explain why she's so excited, Preston and Steve, Painfully Single Mixer! Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Singles Together once again as we do what we can to connect you with, who knows, maybe that special someone that'll go the distance.
Maybe that guy who likes to stand outside in a hurricane with a flag.
Maybe.
Maybe the guy who's getting his paperwork done by the state and is pleasuring himself.
Now, by the way, we're not going to take any phone calls, so no calls right now. We're going to do this via email. We're going to change things up a little bit. And one of the other things that we're doing is we will be having the Painfully Single Mixer in Conshohocken.
Yeah! Yes!
Yes, Kathy.
So life hasn't given Kathy enough breaks.
Mm-hmm. Now it's right there by the curve, man. All right, so the Great American Pub in Conshi is hosting this, and it's presented by our good friends at Miller Lite. And your first Miller Lite is complimentary, plus a free happy hour buffet for all guests. So the date on this will be Thursday, April 4th. It's actually a pretty quick turnaround.
It is a quick turnaround.
We'll be here in a couple of weeks.
The email thing is to make sure that we have, you know, we can get a wide group of people and be fair about the selections. I think that's a good way to go about it. And this room that we're going to be in is awesome. I did a charity event there a couple months ago. Perfect.
You walk into the Great American Pub and you have no idea that this room is upstairs. It's awesome.
I'm like, okay, where the hell did this come from?
I've never been up there.
Yeah. I had my high school reunion there a few years ago. And Steve, I've been there for charity events as well. It's a great room for a mixer.
All right. So how do you do it? Well, you have to enter to win on the contest page, WMMR.com. So instead of giving you an email address, you got to go to WMMR.com. And Nick, can you pull up the graphic where that is, just so I know what it looks like.
If I could find it, yes.
Okay.
But I can't
find it. It'll be there soon.
Go to contest.
Go to the contest page at WMMR.com. So
just press there it is. Go onto the page, 9 clicks, and you're there.
No. If you click on contest, you'll see it says current contest, and you click on that and it takes you right to it.
I will bump it up to the top of the website as well.
You have to be at least 21 years of age. There will be $3 Miller Lite specials, music by DJ Huck Spinna. And prizes as well. So we're excited about that. Catch all the basketball madness with over 20 TVs, by the way. And stay tuned for the reopening of their Skytop Garden rooftop bar in April. So,
Preston, how long has it been since we've done a mixer? Has it been?
I think the last one was in Atlantic City when we were at Harrah's.
So
is that the last one we had?
I think it
and
might
that was
be.
Last. That was last year.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been roughly a year ago. It's been a long time. So we apologize for that. But we're excited to have this one. Wow, I just kind of slurped when I did that, didn't I? Are you excited about that?
Sorry. I'm sorry. I was having a mixer for everyone. It would be an honor if you joined. That'd be easy to spot. I have neurofibromatosis. I have an enormous head and a small bird-like mouth. I look like an elephant.
Maybe you'll find that special someone there.
Exactly. What's your name, Hot Stuff?
So, details go to...
Roast beef? Kiddo? What's your name, kiddo? I like the cut of your slacks.
Go to WMMR.com, click on contest, and get yourself signed up, man. Let's have a party. Once again, that will be on April 4th, 6 to 9 p.m. With that, we're going to take a break. And, Marissa, do we have a word on the Duncan Cruiser yet? It is here.
Whoa!
All right, the Duncan Cruiser is here. It's 8:15. So if you are in the Bala Cynwyd area, stop by One Bala Plaza and by the West Lobby. I know it's you'll figure it out when you get here. The Duncan Cruiser's here. First day of spring. Free iced coffee. Go get some. They have the trefoil coffee and another one of which
the mocha.
The mocha.
Exactly. I want to try the mocha.
All right, so head by there now. And don't forget, we have free iced coffee for a year to give away with our secret text word. So text word secret to 39333. I'm putting a lot on your plate. I know.
It's all right.
We have a lot going on, but these are all good things.
Life is a buffet, Preston.
Yeah, it is. We'll take a break, and when we get back, we have another announcement that I think you will enjoy. So stay here. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
I want to elevate.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So, we have another announcement, and
it's a day of announcements and activity.
Now, we announced earlier a Painfully Single Mixer, which we're excited about, and that's April 4th at the Great American Pub and Conch Hawken, presented by Miller Lite. And if you go to WMMR.com and click on contest, you'll see how to enter to get on board for that. So, we've been doing mixers for years. This is brand new and something we've never done before, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, the NCAA tourney is going on, and we are going to do something in bracket form that kind of goes along with that. And we are excited because we have enough material to pull this off, plenty of material, and we would like to announce and then explain what we're going to do. But we are calling this Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness. Daily Rush Madness, ladies and gentlemen. We have scoured our Daily Rush videos. For those who may not be familiar, we have an array of cameras here in the studio, and we film the show. Nick Murphy and company in our video department film the show, and then they edit together videos of some of our favorite moments, maybe of the day, of the week, whatever it may be, and then we pop them up on our website, on YouTube, on Xfinity.
Yes.
The Weekly Rush. And we've been doing this for years, and so we have hundreds of videos.
Honestly, I knew we had a lot. Didn't know how many we had.
In fact, Nick Murphy went through and sifted through the ones that had some favorable scores and a lot of views, and he narrowed it down to about 120 of them.
Yeah.
And so we went through those, we sifted through, and we, on the show, narrowed down 64 of them that are probably some of our favorites and also had a high score via all the traffic online. And we have put them up in bracket form. We actually had to seed them.
Yeah.
And so we went through a process in that. We did the best we could. It's not perfect. But we now have a bracket system of 64 Preston and Steve Daily Rush videos. And starting tomorrow, we are going to have you help us narrow those down to find the one that is considered the champion of them all.
So a couple of things here. When Casey first had the idea about putting it together in the layup, I was like, okay, you know, I couldn't wrap my mind around how you would progress with it. And then when the final brackets went up yesterday with the placed pairings, I was like, this really makes sense.
Okay.
It really does. And you and I walked away and were like, wait a second. Okay,
yeah,
things going up against each other, it should be very
solid all the way through to the final round, which is what you want. You don't want the tops getting eliminated quickly.
Yep.
And I think it's done really well. And Nick Murphy's method figuring out the popularity and how these should be rated. We sat for a couple of hours and kind of went through a list of the titles, and we were laughing. So I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited for it.
But I think, unlike the NCAA tournament, I think there's more parity in this tournament, meaning I do think that there is an opportunity for, like, a 16 seed to beat a 1 seed.
Maybe,
and for a 2 seed to beat a 15 seed to beat a 2 seed.
And that's where the excitement comes from.
So we're working on the parameters of voting. Marissa and Nick Murphy were in the other room just discussing the particulars on how that's going to work. But what we'll do on the air is maybe to remind you, and we'll post these so you can go and watch them with ease. But we'll also play a couple of audio clips from each one as we're setting them up, as they're going to go head-to-head, just to remind you what they're about. And then you'll be able to vote online. And we'll progress along. And if there's something to give away in conjunction of this, we'll see if we can do that. It's going to last. We're not doing this in one day.
Oh, no.
We're going to do this over the course of the NCAA tournament. So over 3 weeks.
Yep.
But it'll take up very little real estate on the air. It'll mainly be online. But we're going to have some fun with this.
You know what was great is when we were going through all of these and trying to figure out our top 64, it was just laughing about all of it all over again.
The titles, mm-hmm. the great graphics that Nick Murphy and his crew always put together for the videos. But Preston, there are so many that are generated that some kind of get... You know, they put a lot of work into it, and they get cast off into the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives all this great work a chance to be perhaps revisited if you've never seen some of these videos. Maybe it'll be the first time you've seen it, but yeah. It's very cool.
I mean, because Nick Murphy just, you know, he and his whole crew, they just pump these things out. So I think it's easy for anybody to miss one that pops up.
They're ones that I've never seen. And I'm like, when the hell did they make that?
By the way, we're going to have to do one an hour, every day for 3 weeks.
Five matchups a day, it looks like.
So
right?
that's how we got it planned out. So hopefully we can make that work. Just to reminisce a little bit, I'll read a couple of the titles for you. There's one called Vagina Face.
That's one of the earliest.
I love that one. There's The Pudding Guy is another one. That's a current one. Regis Gets Tough. There's The Warrant Hotline.
Yes.
The band, Warrant.
Yeah.
There was Maga Church.
When Preston, that was Mega Church.
Mega Church. I pronounce it Maga Church. Wigapalooza, which is where we met Dr. Chet Wainwright.
Mm, one of our favorite gynecologists.
For the first time. Let's see. David Blaine tortures Stephen Hawking. Here, thank you. I can't read it. So we've got the brackets up on the wall, and I can't read them from this far away. Kathy's sexy traffic voice. Regis wants to bang your fillings out. There are a few Manthe entrances.
Manthe made a couple of appearances.
Caitlyn Jenner's dinner party. The Pennsylvania new state song. There's a lot of really good ones on here. And some favorite moments, like when we opened up the Sir Strumming and the durian fruit.
I believe the dumpster pool is in there, is it not?
Yeah, I think you are correct about that. There's one cult that says, turn on your neck light.
Oh, yes. Kim Kardashian, and that was a trend.
Ball sacks are yummy.
You're going to get actually also in this a lot of the first times for things that pop up on the show fairly frequently.
Yeah, the origins.
Origin stories, basically.
Yeah, one of Casey's favorite was Bill Weston Two-Face.
Yeah.
He came in after having oral surgery, and his face had sort of shifted to one side.
Yeah, he had a lot of Novocaine.
Yeah.
Still in effect, and he could only move half his mouth.
And Casey purposely had him come on the mic.
Yeah. So some of this is visual like that.
Yeah,
like Bill's half two-faced smile, where half his face was not working.
But not only that, but then Steve goes into his, it was like a Harry Knuckles thing.
Yeah. So all good. Of it, and that's why the video adds another component to it, and that's why we will have easy access to each of these videos as we're voting on them. It's going to be a lot of work for Marissa, and thank you in advance, Marissa. To get all this stuff up online for you to be able to watch and vote and get that underway. And we'll have one rule them all.
I'm just thrilled because there's all this content that is sitting there that, again, you maybe have never seen or you're going to revisit. It'll be a great memory or it'll be a first-time exploration into a lot of this incredible work that sits there and it's always sitting there at the ready.
And to do it in this competition form is just another great
Here's a number of texts coming in saying the old lady with the car insurance has to be one.
That's in there.
That's in there. The this says if Harper Lee laser tag doesn't make it to at least one, at least the Elite Eight, this whole competition is a sham.
It's in there.
There's one that says, what else? Snort, Dort, and E.T. Also, somebody asking. There's several of them that are popping up. So we'll get that underway tomorrow at 6 a.m. We're going to ask for you to vote. So get yourself set and be ready to join us along for this little tribute. Now, speaking of the NCAA and March Madness, unfortunately, Fran Dunphy had his last game last night. Temple lost. And
yeah.
So they are out of the tourney, and Fran is officially hanging up his coaching duties. He is going to continue to teach, correct? Isn't that what we heard?
When we were talking to him at the Papa Shot last year, that's what I believe he said.
He loves teaching. He loves being with students, and he loves coaching. He's done it for a long time in this city. He was with Penn for a long time before he was with Temple.
Yeah.
And he replaced the legend at Temple. He replaced John Chaney.
Yeah.
But he's going to stay on campus.
So, Nick, who's the likely replacement? It was
Aaron McKee.
Aaron McKee.
Who went to Temple, then played with the Sixers, and as Philly born and bred, and he's a good replacement.
And is working with them now prior to
So to have Coach Dunphy there as somebody just a sounding board, basically, as you're putting together a team, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I mean, just the whole landscape of the Philadelphia, the City Six, the Big Five, whatever you want to call them, has changed dramatically in a matter of one day.
Yeah.
And it's because the other story is, I'm sure you know it, is Phil Martelli is out as St. Joe's coach, which I think is, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think that's terrible news.
It sucks.
And they didn't need to do that.
He had one more year left on his contract.
And to make it 25, to make it 20, a nice round number, too.
It was also St. Joseph's Day yesterday, by the way.
I wonder why, too. I asked Nick this morning, like, why did they fire him? Why was it not, mutually agreed upon or whatever? I mean, maybe Phil said no, and that was that, and then they had to fire him. But
so what I've heard is, and it's just all rumor and conjecture, but there's a new athletic director at St. Joe's, and this person wanted to make a change. They hadn't made the NCAAs in a number of years. They hadn't really had a great team since Jameer Nelson and Delonte West were leading the team back in 2004. So if they fire Phil and bring in somebody who's bright and shiny, like perhaps a Jameer Nelson, then they can recruit better and they can maybe make a run over the last few years. But you're right. I mean,
which makes sense. I bet
they asked him to step down and he said no.
And then that's why
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Phil is he's a stubborn man and a proud man.
Yeah. But I tell you what else he is. He is a great speaker.
Yes.
At every, not just, the Camp Out for Hunger, but at charity events. I've been to Coaches versus Cancer. I've been Hackers versus Cancer. All these charity golf outings. And he gets on the mic, and I'm telling you, man, he just absolutely captivates everybody.
He speaks from the heart.
I got to believe that he had to have been that way with those students and talking to them in the locker room before big games and so on. I'm just always very inspired when I see him get on the mic.
I mean, I could see him having a career in broadcasting as far as, the NCAA basketball. I mean, it is just enormous. And I think that he would be an asset to any of those television broadcasts.
It just sucks because the new you were just saying the new AD, I guess.
Oh yeah, the athletic director.
Yeah. So she was saying that I believe it's her was saying that she knew it was an unpopular decision. But I mean, there are a couple. One more year. I get that the money and.
But essentially, that's what when a general manager comes into a professional sports team. That's what this person is.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when a new general manager comes in, they'll kind of wipe the slate clean, and they'll get a new head coach.
Yeah,
I
understand
their
regime. It just sucks because honestly, and I'll take it on a selfish level. I know we all will. The Papa Shot challenges over the past couple of years at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yep.
To see the camaraderie of all these coaches, mm-hmm. some great laughs, some great times. No, look, it'll continue, and we'll have new versions of it. But that was a rare cluster of coaches that were just made the city proud.
Yeah.
54 years of combined coaching from Phil and from
Fran Dunphy.
Fran Dunphy, and now they're no longer there.
Yeah, and Phil had, I heard, had spent half his life as a coach of some sort with St. Joe's, because he I believe he was an assistant coach before he became the head coach.
Yeah, he was for 10 years and then became the head coach.
What's the story you have pulled up here on Twitter,
so,
Nick?
So Deuces Rogers tweeted this out last night. I retweeted it this morning. It's a great story, and I summarized it quickly this morning. But basically, there was a big snowstorm in 2002, and it looked like they were going to cancel the game. St. Joe's was playing Boston University, and looked like the snowstorm was going to prevent the game from happening. So when this person that writes the story went out and did what freshmen and sophomores do in college when there's a snowstorm, and they all got drunk and went sledding. They had a great time. Everybody's out, you know, on Hawk Hill and enjoying themselves. And they see this figure walking across campus, and he's got a stack of something in his hands. Well, it turns out it's Phil Martell, and he's walking across St. Joe's campus. The game had not been canceled. Phil brings out all of these tickets to the game, and so he recruits all of these drunk college students to come watch St. Joe's with Jameer Nelson, with Delonte West at the Palestra, I'm sorry, at Hawk Hill to see the game, to watch the game. So 3,000 drunk fans pack in because nobody could make it because of the snowstorm. Yeah. And the place went nuts. And it just was a really great story about what a cool guy Phil is. And Preston, I'll let you quote this because it's got a big fat curse right in the middle of it. But
all right. Find it for me. It's multiple tweets in this post altogether. And eventually it tells the story that essentially Nick was kind of trimming down. It says Martelli reveals what's in his hand, and it's a stack of hundreds of tickets, maybe 1,000. And he said, I quote, "I want every one of these crazy mother effers at the game." And he handed over the stack of tickets to my friend John. He said it was the drunkest, sweatiest, rowdiest crowd I'd ever seen or ever would see at any sporting event. 3,500 rum-soaked freshmen, sopping wet from sledding all afternoon. The arena felt like something inside of a Russian banya. They didn't even bother checking tickets at some point, so... he said when the let me continue on because this is a great story. He said when the BU players ran out on the court, I remember just a team-wide look of disgust when they realized what was happening around them, that somehow a normal early season game had been converted into some sort of blood sport sequel. St. Joe's won 71-49, but the score doesn't reflect just how much of an ass-kicking it was. This was Jameer Nelson, Delonte West team, and it seemed like shots were banking in off the concession stand. So that's pretty cool, man. That's a coach wanting to make sure that his guys are appreciated, you know, and going out, going to that trouble. And giving some free entertainment to the students.
Yeah, yeah. So it's sad news.
Yeah, I was bummed out to hear that.
And the fact also, Preston, that they happened same day.
Yeah.
Sort of robs.
Both of them.
Yeah.
It overshadows.
It robs, and I don't think that was cool either.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, we knew one was coming, but the whole, you know, it's just, I think a little bit more respect was deserved.
Well, should we rename our contest then? The Fran Dunphy, Phil Martelli Memorial Daily Rush Madness?
Well, memorial implies they're dead. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
No. Okay.
All right. Well, anyhow, we'll see. Speaking of dead, I did see this story yesterday. Now listen, you hear about this every now and then, that they figured out who Jack the Ripper was.
It's a constant.
But this one has used DNA evidence that they may have narrowed down who Jack the Ripper was.
Is it who I'm thinking? Benny Hill?
Benny Hill?
Yeah.
He was English.
I know.
Yeah. No, it's been revealed to be a 23-year-old Polish barber.
I've heard this one.
Yeah, Aaron Kosminski. They say was the notorious serial killer who hunted on the streets of Victorian London. According to scientists, new evidence finds that two sets of DNA traces on the clothing matches that, and this is from a victim that they found some clothing, matches that of both Kosminski and one of his murdered victims, Catherine Eddowes.
They were all prostitutes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Polish immigrant lived with his two brothers and sister in Greenfield Street, just 200 yards from where his third victim, Elizabeth Stride, was killed. The identity was confirmed by researchers from Liverpool John Moores University, who shared their findings in the Journal of Forensic Sciences. They wrote, "We described for the first time systematic molecular level analysis of the only surviving physical evidence linked to Jack the Ripper murders." It's pretty
so
wild,
he had
right?
written notes, obviously, and toyed with Scotland Yard for a long time, and that this still floats in and out of popularity, that it was actually a member of the extended royal family that was Jack the Ripper. He apparently, though, they have always said, had a fair degree of medical expertise. So
this guy was a barber.
Yeah, and but barbers, I don't know if that it was the same, but barbers used to do bloodletting and things of that nature.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Finding both matching profiles in the same piece of evidence enhances the statistical probability of its overall identification, reinforces the claim that the shawl is authentic. And businessman Russell Edwards had bought the shawl at auction in 2007, contacted the scientist several years ago. It had been found next to Edo's body and was stained with what was believed to be her blood. Edo's was slaughtered by Kaminsky on the night of September 30th, 1888, where her kidney was hacked out and her cheeks ripped apart. Oh,
Jesus. Brutal stuff.
The serial killer is then rumored to have eaten her kidney in a revolting and twisted act of pride. Edo's was the second woman to have died at the hands of Jack the Ripper that very night. He had slit Elizabeth, what's her last name, Stride's throat an hour earlier. He was linked to the notorious killer, this guy Kaminsky, in 2014 when one of the authors of this week's paper studied the same shawl. But his claims were trashed by other scientists who said that he had made an error of nomenclature in his analysis. But they're saying that this may be conclusive evidence. Listen, there's no way to 100% tell.
Unless he mans up and comes forward and confesses.
That's
please.
Probably not going to happen.
Plead guilty.
Stop this suffering.
When was this all going on? What year was
1888.
Yep. Okay.
Why? You think you know what you're doing?
No.
He was in a hotel in Florida.
It just makes you wonder, like, how anybody got caught doing anything back then. You know, like, you see these old Westerns where these bank robbers and stuff like that. Like, how are you getting caught? You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's also questions how many people didn't do it and were, you know,
falsely
accused and convicted and executed.
What a lot of people don't know is at that time in London, the rats could speak. There were a few witnesses. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Some of them were chefs,
yes,
right?
Yes. Rat Tatouille, for example.
Yeah.
Had moved from France.
Okay.
But no, listen, again, how do you know? But this has been one of the great mysteries that fuels constant debate. And there have been movies. You saw the movie From Hell with Johnny Depp? That it has to all do with the Jack the Ripper murders and who that might be. And there's this big conspiracy. There's a movie called Time After Time with Malcolm McDowell where he is H.G. Wells and he finds out one of the guys who attends his house for cigars and conversation is a doctor and he's Jack the Ripper.
Well, now, and they're also like using DNA evidence like this. They can go back and find. They can find your relatives.
Yes.
And use their
23 and Ripper
DNA as a match. What's that?
23 and Ripper is the service. Oh. It shows you how closely related you are to Jack the Ripper.
23 and Ripper. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They can use distant relatives, cousins and so forth, and find the DNA strain in there and pinpoint that.
Did you do it, Kathy? Did you do 23andMe or did you do Ancestry.com?
We did something. No, remember, we did it all together.
Franklin Institute.
Yeah, it was called, I think it was called Family Tree DNA.
Family.
It was more of like the ancestry. It was more of, you know, how much Italian, you know, percentage of Italian, a percentage of Irish, all of that. But I do have, I got for Christmas, and I have yet to do it, the Ancestry.com, which includes 23andMe and all of that. So I'm going to do the swab. Actually, I want to do it this week. I'm going to do the swab and send it out.
I want to see, though. I want to do like the ancestry thing. I want to find out, you know, going back relative of relative of relative of relative, so, and how he came over here and which member of my family was Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
Well, so, you know what? It's a lot of work because I did do after.
I don't like work, though.
No. After we did that with the Franklin Institute, I actually did a little research. I worked with somebody who kind of helped me. We found out some really cool things. Like when my family came over from Ireland.
Boat stinks.
No, but there's like something they had to lie about something, and they brought someone over that I guess wasn't able to come over, and I'm somehow connected to this woman's like great 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 granddaughter who lives in New York. Like it was actually pretty cool. We found some neat things, but
the name is Omanthe. apostrophe Manthe from County Clark.
So you come from Irish immigrants?
Yeah, I'm actually, when I did that swab, I'm actually like 80% Irish.
Really?
No. Wow.
Yeah, I'm only 20% Italian. Like, I guess that's how my DNA makeup works out. Yeah.
Okay, that you appear more Italian.
Yeah, I guess.
Celtic sister.
Skin and, yeah.
But my mom is 100% Irish.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, obviously that's where that comes from. But the swab, the Ancestry.com swab, which I'm going to do, my mom bought it for all of us for Christmas. And she said, to my dad. She goes, I should have got you one. He goes, I'm not doing that.
Hey, really? Sometimes it goes bad.
He's like, I'm pretty sure you have like a sibling out there somewhere.
Oh my God.
It has happened.
That's the deal. And a lot of times it does happen around Christmas. They're giving his gifts and then people do it, you know, in the next couple of days. And then they find out that either they are not related or there's extra relatives.
My father had 9 different families.
Dear God.
Yeah. They find out all these different things. Right. So what happens is that, you know, they have that aspect of it, which is like the 23andMe talks about. You can find genetically if you have a proclivity for or a possibility of a certain disease or blah, 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 blah. Right. There's that PBS show where they go and they do extensive background.
So Henry Louis Gates is the host?
I think it's
yes. It's fantastic.
And my God, you know, they have these celebrities finding out about themselves going back generation to generation to generation. I would love to know. I mean, honestly, you'd hate to think that all that stuff just evaporates.
Yeah.
The accumulated story of your family, you know, evaporates after a while.
Yeah.
No, it definitely does. My uncle was big into preserving the family tree and tracing it before a lot of these websites came along, these services.
Does he have stuff pertaining to that?
Yeah, he did.
Because that'll serve you well.
He's got it all written down.
Yeah.
He passed away a few years ago, but so somebody in my family has it.
Well, and these services, that's basically what they do. It's just like an online family tree. Like if you do the swab and you create an account, you log on, it immediately links you to the people that have also done this. So, you know, I can see my uncle's in there, my mom's in there, but then, you know, further down, second, third cousins, things like that.
Mm. I wonder if I'd want to know about other people that I won't, that I don't call.
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So but just know. To know.
Let me go to Mandy. Hi, Mandy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Mandy. You wanted to tell us a story?
Yes. So I just met my sister. She lives in Alabama. We didn't know about her.
You didn't know about her at all? Like not even rumors, not even a thought? Okay.
Nothing. No inkling at all.
Okay.
She had found her mother. And her mother told her that my dad was her father.
Oh, F.
So my dad, she actually called my brother looking for my dad. They had the same name. And my dad was at my brother's house. And he said, he's asking my dad questions while he's talking to this woman on the phone. And he says, hold on, dad, say hi to your daughter. And he has my dad's phone.
Oh, my God. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, and my dad had just had open heart surgery. A month before.
Open her back up.
I'm like, are you kidding me? You're going to give this man a massive heart attack here. He just had a kid. Like, he just found out he has a kid.
Mandy, is your mother still in the picture? She's still alive and still in?
Yes, they're not together.
Okay.
Friends.
All right.
But they're friends. And she actually came to my house Sunday. My sister Wendy came to my house Sunday from Alabama with her daughter. And we had a whole family reunion for the last 3 days.
Wow.
And did your dad, was he full-on surprised?
He had an inkling that it could have been, he could have had a kid out there.
Okay, so it didn't come as a shock.
Yeah, I mean, he's 72 years old. He didn't even think of it, you know?
Yeah, at a certain point. Wow.
Yeah, so he's now 72, he's 72, she's 50, and we had a huge family reunion.
Was it a positive experience?
Oh, it was wonderful.
All right.
I cried hysterical when she left last night. Like, she talks like me, she acts like me, she looks like me. Like, it's just...
You walk alike, so you talk alike.
Yeah.
That's
a great story, Mandy.
Out of the blue. Thank imagine you. That. You know, so obviously that's an element of, as well. My family has points in it, you know, going back where they're... There were these bifurcations that existed where someone could, you know, we don't know, you know, there were splits and so on and so forth. I'd be curious to see how we ended up where we are.
Did you say bifurcations?
Splits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
Hey, this Christmas, my family did the whole, like, genetic ancestry.com thing, and my aunt ended up tracking down
a half sister that nobody in the family knew that they had.
Okay.
Was that sister Chuck Wepner?
Did you reach out? Did you guys reach out to her?
My aunt did. The rest of us basically just, we kept our distance because apparently she had gone through her whole life thinking she was an only child.
Wow.
And then she found out she has three sisters and a brother.
Oh, Brian, so man. When that happens and you're like, you're obviously like a little bit flabbergasted, do you have like a family meeting about how you proceed and how you reach out and, you know, how that whole procedure goes?
Well, we basically all decided, like, it's up to her whether she wants to reach out. To
right,
her,
right.
Or not.
Yeah, it's it, so. But would you recommend for people like who are reaching out and doing stuff like the with the 23andMe and Ancestry.com to pursue it, or do you think you know, be careful what you wish for?
I think that's an individual basis thing.
Yeah,
but it's like tricky waters there. I'd say like if you want to go ahead, but don't be surprised if they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, like you're sitting there at the desk and they're looking across the table, and they, you know, the guy who's done the research says, you have a relative who lives in Juniata Park. It's a G. Lauer.
Thanks, Brian.
We are family.
I appreciate it.
A lot of times, we are family. A lot of times when people are doing this, they're looking for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they know that somebody is out there.
Apparently, there are some people looking at some of the texts who are very paranoid about it, too. not for the reason of finding family members, but, you know, you're giving your DNA to a database and... They're gonna clone you and
Preston.
You know.
I've given DNA to so many hotel rooms.
Oh my God, have I? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
And clone
There's
me?
Gallons of that stuff. What's that?
Clone you? It would make life better if there were more there than more... one of me.
Come
That's
on,
adorable.
Let's look at the sunny side of life.
An army of Kathys.
I thought you were gonna say one of you, but you brought it back to yourself.
Yes, one.
An army of Manthys.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Beautiful.
A whole battalion.
All right, Division 1, go up 20 quick.
That's right. Like that scene from Attack of the Clones where it's just not exactly what we ordered.
Right. Right. All right, well, anyhow, they may have tracked down who exactly Jack the Ripper was. He was a Polish barber. But that's using DNA forensics. Anyhow, we have stuff to bring you up to speed on. Number one, we have a secret text word today. A chance for you to win free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year. Text word secret to 39333. Don't forget they have a $2 medium iced coffees all day long. And we have free coffee right now. Iced coffee. The Dunkin' Cruiser is at One Bala Plaza in Bala Cynwyd at the West Lobby. And they're handing it out for the first day of spring. So why not? And since it's spring, you may as well strip off a little bit and get comfortable. We have the ladies of Delilah's here on our hottie cam, too. And they have their Entertainer of the Year party tonight at 7 o'clock. You can go to Delilah's.com, the information. They have their guest host, Simone Danilustris, and she's like a gazillion-time nude Entertainer of the Year.
Whatever occupation you can do nude, she's won an award for doing it.
And they are going to have the most talented girls competing for the title of Entertainer of the Year 2019. And a special set by Philly's own DJ Active, Janet Jackson's tour DJ, who will be there tonight. Ooh. So those things are taking place. We have a Painfully Single Mixer that's coming up. We announced Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness, which is happening tomorrow. It's a lot to take in, but we think you can do it. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us. We got more to come.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHateStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The ladies of Delilah's are here. They just changed. They're walking into our studio now. Are those Phillies bikinis that you're wearing? Is that what that is?
Wow.
I don't know. The Red, White,
yeah, they are.
Phillies,
yeah, those are the same ones the team wears, Preston.
It's Phillies on their heinies. So we have Cece and Mia and Cassandra who are here, and they're promoting the Entertainer of the Year event, which is tonight at Delilah's Gentleman's Club.
I forgot Manthi.
7 p.m. Manthi is here, too. Select open bar and gourmet hors d'oeuvres begin at 7 p.m. Details at Delilahs.com. You can set up a table bottle service and all that stuff. So tonight, that's when that's taking place, 7 o'clock at Delilah's. And then another thing, we announced this earlier this morning. We are in conjunction with the NCAA tournament. We are doing what's called the Preston and Steve Daily Rush Madness. And it is what it sounds like. It's all of our Daily Rush videos. Not all of them. It's the 64 that we chose that are going to go head-to-head by battling against each other by popularity. And we are going to have you vote on them. And we're going to be doing it five times a day for the next 3 weeks, starting tomorrow morning. We'll make it easy for you. And I looked at the text. I saw a few more come up after we were done talking about it, asking if certain videos were going to be on. Somebody asked if the Casey Kasem Indian Reservation is on there, which I only remember part of that.
I believe it is.
I have to go back and watch it. I think it's on there.
Yeah.
And then another one was, oh, man, what was the other one? I was cracking up when I was thinking about it. I can't remember. There's so many of them. But the
Casey Kasem is in there. I saw
the Casey Kasem. Damn it, what was the other? Oh, it was James Mason Counts.
Oh,
it was the counting lesson, or teaches you to count.
Sure, yeah,
which is one of my absolute favorites.
You know why is it the whole bracket concept is so much fun?
It is
fun. We do with the music and the albums here. We've done it often. MMR music.
We've done songs. We've done albums. We made the perfect band. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Yes. And we had bass player, guitar, drummer, singer, and so we've done different. They're always
it just makes
fun.
Exactly. It makes you pair off. And I know you've done Sarah and Jackson's bracket show. It's a fun thing to do. I did it with the James Bond movies. And you start to, well, how do I judge this against this? Ultimately, though, it's just a great way to review all this stuff that's there for your enjoyment.
Yep. Last year, they did a Delco Town one, which I think everybody loses in that. But
it was the most Delco Town, right?
Yeah. Yep. And Ridley won.
And weren't you always... it's funny. Okay, this is a whole other conversation. I have something else I'm going to get to, but I forgot who I was with. It was Connor and somebody else. I was in an appearance, and they were battling it out as far as what was the most Delco Town.
Yeah.
And I think the impression was that the more trashy it is, the more Delco it is.
I don't necessarily think trashy. I think there's a passion involved there, because Ridley won, and Ridley's not trashy, but Ridley also is a township, right? So you have a whole bunch of different towns that kind of make up the Ridley area.
But
right.
That little nuance is the kind of thing that fuels these kind of things. So this is not that, and there's a little bit of this, and that's why people get so passionate. I'm looking forward 3 weeks for this.
So we've somewhat seeded these videos, meaning that we've taken the ones that we feel have the most oomph, and we've put them in their proper place, so they're going to be matched up like you would in the NCAA tournament. So the top ones are facing the ones that might have a tough time, and we'll have them battle it out, and we'll start that up tomorrow.
And as you're reviewing, appreciate just all the incredible work that Nick Murphy and his video team does.
Yeah.
Some of them have some wonderful flourishes. Take a look at the graphics that are like on the opening, the opening seconds of the video. Uh-huh. It's hilarious.
And Marissa is going to try and make it accessible for you to be able to watch each video when we do the mashups. So. What am I doing here?
I don't know.
Preston, you're now the Pope.
Finding your roots. No, this is WHYY is listening to the show right now.
Oh!
This is like what you heard about finding your roots on Preston and Steve this morning. The show returns to WHYY TV Tuesday, April 2nd at 8 p.m.
It's a great show.
That's funny. All right, thanks for tweeting that out. We appreciate that. Hey, here's a local thing. Marissa sent this over to me. Yeah, technically, I guess this is junk drawer.
Oh, yay!
We might go somewhere else.
Ooh, yay! Can I have ice cream, Daddy?
He sounded like
that's
a little
what it sounded
kid,
like. Yeah.
Marissa sent this to me yesterday, so I got to give her credit for that. But Questlove,
yes,
the drummer, of course, and DJ, announced the launch of a namesake cheesesteak
made with the Impossible meat. It's going to be plant-based, and it's called Questlove's Cheesesteak. And they're gonna actually debut this at Citizens Bank Park, and it's going to be served at all of the Phillies' home baseball games this season. March 28th is when this first rolls out. I'm intrigued. I've had the Impossible Burger. I like it a lot.
It is really good. Now, Impossible 2 is coming out. So there is a new riff on the Impossible Burger.
All right.
And they've upped the burger taste.
Okay.
I think the regular Impossible Burger is wonderful.
I like
it. Listen, if you're to sit down and have a Kobe burger, you could tell the difference.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, I eat them all the time. I love them.
I think this
is going to be a great option.
I think they taste a little different than real beef.
Yes.
But they taste good.
Well, yes.
That's the thing.
Just by themselves.
And you want slightly different, but it's good.
The texture is also very, very important here.
It's very hamburger-ish. It's very chopped steak-ish.
It's also important to note here that Questlove is not a vegetarian.
Well, that's what I was curious about because
he's an apostletarian.
I was wondering why they'd go with a veggie based cheese or I mean not cheese a meat replacement. So apparently he's big in the culinary world though.
Well,
I did not know that he's participated in a slew of food activities such as Top Chef and Parts Unknown. And he has something called, it's a nonfiction-focused culinary work. He's been nominated for a James Beard Foundation Book Award for a book called Something to Food About, Exploring Creativity with Innovative Chefs.
Preston.
I didn't know that.
Like, all right. You had a drum off with Questlove.
I did.
We have always been Questlove fans. We've always, we need to get him, even if it's on the freaking phone.
Oh, I agree.
You know,
to get this and to get some of these in here to taste, because I honestly, I'm not feeling a lot of love from Questlove.
He used to respond to my texts, and because when we had him in, he gave me his number and would occasionally respond and was nice, and he doesn't anymore, and I know that he's big, and I'm not besmirching him
for that. We love Questlove,
but we're
not feeling love from Questlove.
I also haven't texted him in a few years, so I'm going to do it right now, and
text
we'll see if he can respond. Yeah.
Lead with WMMR, love you. And
get
it? He was really excited about the fact that he was on MMR. When he came by and was in the studio playing, so maybe he'll be into it, but we'd love to hear more about this. So that's going to be not only at Citizens Bank Park, but they are going to add this Impossible Cheesesteak, Questlove's Cheesesteak, at 40 Live Nation owned and operated venues across the U.S.
It's a great option. It really is.
Yeah.
So I go, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of Harvest, and Harvest has the Impossible Burgers. I have them now more than... I'm having Impossible Burgers now more than I have regular burgers.
Okay.
Yeah. What's
the nutritional difference?
I don't know either.
Yeah, I haven't looked into that yet.
I know it's pretty good. I know, like, for example, to approximate the redness of the meat, they're using beets. So beets are good for you. And there's some other aspects to it that I know are good.
And if they're using beans, you should get a pretty decent protein quotient in there. So
I thought you said beets.
There's beets, too.
He did say beets.
Beets and beans?
I said if they're using beans, because sometimes that's a good replacement for... for meat or
and
or
right there, Preston,
substitute.
Ground glass.
Yeah.
My goodness, no.
Wow.
Here we go. Here's the full nutritional breakdown of 1 3-ounce Impossible Burger patty. That's a pretty small patty.
Yeah.
That's a small
patty.
It's
like a dot.
It's like a lifesaver.
220 calories, a lot of sodium, 430 milligrams of sodium.
Yeah.
20 grams of protein.
Good.
That's high. 5 grams carbohydrates.
Not bad.
That's low. And less than 1 gram of sugar. So 220 calories. That's a little high calorie count wise, but still.
So let's pop it into like an 8-ounce burger. So if there's 220 calories in.
Well, just double it and go 6, you know, to make it easier. So it's going to be 440 calories for just the burger patty. Wow, that's a lot.
But what is it in comparison to an actual burger? Do you know what I mean? Like it might.
I think an actual burger might be a leaner piece of burger might be a little less caloric.
Pull up the nutritional. Ground beef.
What? Less in calories.
A burger?
Yes.
Yes. So, a regular meat burger is gonna less, right?
If you if you do a 3-ounce ground beef patty that's 93% lean, it's only 164 calories as opposed to the 220 for the Impossible Burger.
Okay.
Well, it's give and take, and especially if you're going to be, you know, if you're eating for ethical reasons, if you don't want to eat any animal based products, then it's a payoff. This is what you got to do if you want to.
So shut up.
Burger. This is way the Impossible Burgers. There's way less sodium in
a hamburger.
In a hamburger, zero mm-hmm. carbohydrates, mm-hmm. zero sugar, zero fiber.
So you're saying shove that up your butt and eat meat, right?
Kind of.
She's saying, really, don't even cook it. Jump on the cow and start gnawing away.
Why cook?
Hit it with the shovel until it's dead and start eating through its stomach.
All I know is they taste good. And
they do.
When they pulled up a picture of this, my mouth started to water a little bit.
It looks really good.
That's cool.
Right, Quest Love one? That made your mouth water?
Yes. Yeah, it looked too. Good. Yeah, so, all right, anyhow.
And Quest Love, just seeing him makes my mouth water.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be available March 28th at Citizens Bank Park.
By the way, President, yes. the Phils are on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They just debuted this.
No kidding.
Yeah, so this comes out today, and it's Reese Hoskins, Bryce Harper, Aaron Nola, and JT Realmuto. And so, yeah, they're donning the cover. And the Sixers were just on the cover last month.
That's cool.
See what you said, what the caption underneath is, Preston? Uh-huh. We draw our strength from the recent appearance of the Preston and Steve show.
<Yeah. laughs>
I tell you what, it's so funny looking at Reese, because Reese is just such a dude.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. He's just a young guy. I mean, you would not at all, if you were to encounter him, just running into him at a convenience store or whatever, there's no way you'd go, that dude's pro baseball player. He just he's so, and I mean that as a compliment. Yeah. He's just an everyday person. So,
well, it's like us when people see, you know, we're glammed up and people see it all the time. Up. But like Wendy Williams, you know, but when we're not glammed up, you wouldn't notice.
No, you'd have no idea. All right, let me dig into the junk real quick. I do have some other things.
You know what? Why don't you go a little bit deeper? Can you get in there with your legs?
Yeah, hang on a second.
Like you're crushing grapes?
Down in there.
Here we go.
Annual ranking of the best and worst airlines in the United States has come out.
Start with the worst.
It's called the Point Guys Third Annual List. They rank the 10 largest U.S. airlines from best to worst. So you want me to go to the worst?
What do you think Bill would want?
What WWBD?
What would Bill want?
What would Bill do?
What
would Bill do? Third leg of the bill.
Let's start with the last place. Number 10 is Frontier Airlines. A lot of these I've never flown.
These are puddle jumpers.
Yeah, Nick
Frontier is
No, Frontier is not.
These are the biggest airlines.
Nick Murphy just took them to L.A., mm-hmm. and they are
Frontier?
They're a real cheap alternative.
It's bench seating, right?
He went to L.A. How much did he go for?
Less than $100.
Yeah, like $75 or something like that.
So for the years and years and years, so I guess they've achieved a higher status, but for years and years and years, Frontier used to be short routes, not a big player. I did not know they had achieved that status.
Yeah. I've flown Frontier a number of times, and I completely disagree with, because you guys have said things like this before. I completely disagree with it. The seats are actually, I find them to be a little bit bigger. They're less cushioned, so I'm not sure how I would go, you know, out to L.A., but like a quick trip like we did to Florida or whatever, I have no problem with it.
I'll explain.
Yeah, please.
Hold on real quick.
Please.
Because it says it fell 5 spots from last year's ranking. It was number 5 last year, Kathy. But apparently, let me see here. Where's the stat? It fell 5 spots. And Frontier's last place finish was attributed to its poor on-time record.
Oh, all right.
So here's the qualifications, the criteria. I'm sorry to include it. Timeliness. Comfort, cancellations, pricing, customer satisfaction, lost baggage, and a few other things.
So those are what they're considering.
And bear attacks.
In-flight bear attacks.
Now, I know everything. So if you see a price, it's like $100, that doesn't include your seat. Like, you have to pay a seat fee, and then you have to pay a baggage fee. But in the end, when it all adds up, it's still less than if you were to fly one of the other.
Nick Murphy says he flew from here to L.A. for $100.
Round trip.
Round trip for $100?
Yeah, here he's coming in right now. So,
you liar!
He looked around, he got a deal, and, he was able to, he and his friend decided they were going to do this trip the cheapest way possible, right?
Yeah, we went super cheap on it, and so we booked our original flight round trip, and it was $80. And
round trip $8, that no additional fees except for your luggage, maybe
nothing. They're assuming you're traveling with nothing.
Okay,
right? If we wanted to pick our seats, it was like $8.
Okay,
each way.
All right,
and then if we needed a bag, it was like $35,
which still has you traveling round trip
yeah.
to LA for about $140.
Right, And then we upgraded to their, like, business first class, whatever it's called.
Which means they hand you a stapler.
Right, basically. For,
you know, well, like, yeah, they use in business.
Yeah, you got some business to do.
But they don't have the larger first class.
Here, staple some stuff. Yeah.
They do.
They do?
So wait, what was the question?
Normally their seats are like three in a row, kind of like regular, like three and three. If you bump up to this other one, it's just two seats.
Okay.
So it's like a regular size seat, but there's only two, so you got like a little bit of room. And that was like an extra $25-$30 each way.
Nick, the round trips regularly for that, that's obscenely cheap.
Yeah, it was insane. We were like,
was there a closed window that you could book during?
No. They had like limited flights, definitely.
All right, so what are we talking about? How limited?
I mean, they only did like three flights a day.
That's not
out there.
Bad.
It really wasn't that bad.
All right, so well, I mean, it can be done. But they were in last place. Would you rank them as the worst airline?
I mean, we went in with kind of low expectations.
Okay, well, and I think that's part.
We were good.
That you should be all right.
So if you if you're not okay, I like it.
Let me go.
I
through
had
the
no
rest
idea.
Of, let me go through the rest of these. Number nine is Sprint.
Sprint
airline. Number eight is Allegiant.
Allegiant.
I haven't flown any of these.
That flies out of Allentown.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, you can get like a super cheap flight from Allentown into, I think it's Sanford, which is close to Orlando. So people trying to get to Orlando cheaper can go out of there.
Do you know what it takes me about the same amount of time to get to Allentown as it does to Philadelphia International? Because I live up off the Northeast Extension.
Really?
I should start looking into flying out of there. Yeah, Allentown's an easy drive for
and
me.
And Allegiant, their slogan is, Allegiant out of Allentown, we both start with A's. And people
it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yes, it's interesting. The airline that starts with an A.
A
fly to Albany?
It only flies as easy to start with A.
No, that'd be stupid.
Or Albuquerque.
When you're thinking Allentown, think Allegiant.
Austin.
Uh-huh.
Now my brain is scouring for cities that start
Augusta.
With A. Uh-huh. Augusta, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Masters.
Right.
If only Alaska was a city.
Anchorage!
Anchorage.
There we go. All right. Alaska. Okay. Let me
Alaskan Airlines is in there, right?
Alaskan Airlines is on this list. All right. Number seven. These are the best and worst airlines in the U.S. The top ten anyway. JetBlue is number seven. Number six is American Airlines. Used to be U.S. Air, of course.
I used to have a lot of issues with American Airlines, and now I haven't done a lot of flying, but I think they've gotten a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The plane we were on had nicer seats than I remember in the past. It actually had places where you could plug in and charge up your electronics. Right.
Going down. Not coming back.
They didn't have plugs?
Not on the way back, no.
But they allowed, there was a special area where you could check your alligator.
Okay.
Yeah. Just don't fly basic economy.
Starts with an A. Ever.
Basic economy. They hadn't even ever seen tickets like that. Well, you know, when you get a ticket and it's handwritten.
Number five is Hawaiian Airlines.
Hawaiian Airlines.
Yep.
Out of Hawaii.
That is correct. And also don't forget that they fly from island to island, too.
So and Allentown.
And those are like every hour. They fly exclusively to Allentown.
Aloha. As you get out of Allentown Airport and they're putting a lei around your neck. God. What's this about? You got to do it. Union rules.
Number four is United.
United.
Oh, they still exist?
They love to fly.
And it shows.
Jinx.
Yeah, they're still around.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I know it.
Flew them out west,
Denver.
They
fly in and out of Denver a lot, and also Chicago is their club.
They actually flew Allegiant to find out that they were still in practice.
Number three is Southwest Airlines.
Southwest.
Okay. I always have a good time on Southwest.
Do you? Why is that?
But I'm always suspect of it when I get there because of the boarding
process
and picking your own seats. But I always end up with something I'm
is
happy
it GA?
With. Yes. For the most part, however, you can pay more to get on earlier.
And their flight attendants kind of joke around.
They're
and,
fun.
Yeah, they're a little
like that. They probably would give you a handy in the lavatory.
Why
if
not?
You ask, or the galley, but, you know.
Last time I flew Southwest, I sat next to a guy who travels a lot for work, and he was telling me a story about a Southwest flight attendant. He said, He always boards first because, you know, he buys the extra whatever so you can get on earlier. Yeah. And he said he was the first one on, and he walked on and he went where he was sitting. The overhead bin was closed, so he opened it and he said the flight attendant was in the overhead bin and scared him.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what Casey would do.
That's fantastic.
That's what I would do.
That is what Casey would
Although
do.
There's no way I'm fitting my fat ass into an overhead bin, but.
I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, that's good. Lighten it up.
Maybe that's a goal for you, Casey.
That is a goal.
Someday to get up in the overhead bin.
Dude, pretend you're crashing, stuff like that. Southwest
Airlines flight.
We're going down. Just kidding! We're just kidding. You know, fun, Southwest, having a laugh. Wait, you know?
Do it from the beginning of an announcement, if you would, please.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an announcement. We're going down. We're going to crash. Make peace with your God!
I'm just kidding.
I mean, we'd already done the overhead compartment gag.
All right, so... two more on this list. So Southwest...
Or the oxygen mask fall down from the ceiling and on each mask it says, gotcha.
Yeah.
Or, Preston, you put the oxygen mask on and it leaves a black ring around your face. Look in the mirror, you idiots.
They go all the way as far as they actually putting it on. They let the gag go that far.
Look at your faces. You got black rings around your faces.
Black ring around the mouth. Yeah. Or they come out with full red lipstick on. Right. Everybody does. Oh, my God.
Okay. You look like whores.
Casey's told me I need to wrap this
all
up.
Right,
so,
damn it.
Number two on this list is Alaskan Airlines.
I've flown them.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you fly on one that had the big Alaskan, Alaskan
yeah, and it was from,
Eskimo on it?
It was from Seattle to the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, one of those two. And it was it was great. It was a really convenient flight. Really,
I love the way I love that picture. I don't know what it is. It's they have always gotten raves, Alaskan Airlines.
Newer planes too.
And number one on this list, according to the points guys. Delta is the number one airline in the country as far as
in the country. So
timeliness, comfort, cancellations, pricing, right. Customer satisfaction, lost baggage, all that stuff.
They hear things about like the one that Jennifer Aniston was doing the commercials for.
United Emirates.
Or Aer Lingus
or something like
that.
One of those.
Sure.
Sure, people who self mutilate.
No,
not Qatar.
Q-U-A-T-A-R.
Qatar, some people call it Qatar. All right, so anyhow,
Dubai?
If you're flying sometime soon, keep that in mind that these are, you may want to try a different airline and see what their experience is all about.
Hmm. We have a limited series of options here, right? That fly out of Philly.
Yeah, you know,
By the way.
It's an international airport, but the hub is American, so that's the bulk of the flights are going to be those.
Just a quick note about the airport. I think they're putting a polish on it. You can tell that whole area that has the iPads and the ordering stations and the charging stations.
Most definitely.
It's going in the right direction.
All right, thanks for letting me clean out the junk drawer. Apologizing to Steve, who's on the phone line. I didn't get a chance to go to him. He says they do Impossible Burgers and cheesesteaks at Wilson's Secret Sauce. So I wanted to mention that, so I appreciate that. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. The Delilah's ladies are on our hottie cam wearing their Phillies bikinis.
Yes.
And they are promoting the Entertainer of the Year event tonight. So check out CC, Mia, and Cassandra on PrestonandSteve.com. We have one of your last chances to text in to win free Dunkin' Ice coffee for an entire year. It's our secret text word. Text the word SECRET to 39333. And we'll get a winner in just a little bit. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents an epic co-headline summer tour with Korn. And Alice in Chains. Saturday, August 3rd at BB&T Pavilion with special guests Under Oath. Tickets on sale now. Ticketmaster.com. Korn and Alice in Chains North American Tour. August 3rd at BB&T Pavilion. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
93.3 WMMR Panama. Getting close to 9:50.
Oh.
On a Wednesday morning, we do things on Wednesdays like Secret Text Word. Chance for you to win Dunkin' Coffee for a year. So get on that now. You're running out of time. Text the word SECRET to 39333. First day of spring, Dunkin' is offering up free iced coffee here at One Bala Plaza, our building where we broadcast from, the West Lobby. You drive around the parking lot, you'll see some signs on the building. Look for the one that says West Lobby, or just look for the Dunkin' Cruiser. Go by and get yourself some free iced coffee this morning. Partly cloudy, 55 today for the first day of spring. Let's get our final look at traffic. What's up, Kath?
We've got a Tacony-Palmyra drawbridge opening, so expect jam traffic on both sides of the bridge. 95 southbound jams from Bridge through to Girard. Schuylkill eastbound, slowing Conshohocken into Belmont. Heavy City to the Vine. Westbound jams Vera Avenue to South Street. The Boulevard out to Belmont. In Coatesville, Business 30 between 82 and 13 Ave still closed. We've got that accident. Has both directions closed all morning. And then in New Jersey, on the White Horse Pike at Evesham Road, right lane construction causing a jam up there. 42, 53. Five have cleared out. This traffic report brought to you by eBay. You know when you're shopping and find that perfect thing, that feeling, and then you see the price and you're like, wait, it's how much? Did you check eBay? And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you. Special treat today that we just found out. Unfortunately, Pierre's not going to be in today.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He's got an appointment or something. Came down last minute. So
he's flying to Allentown.
Oh, that's where he's headed. No, for your listening pleasure today, I kid you not, broadcasting middays.
Come on.
Wild Bill West.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bill Weston is doing Pierre's show today, so you get to hear. Bill's actually, he's got a great voice.
He is good.
He's a really solid jock, so he'll be on the air today.
So does that mean no meeting since he's going to be on his
That's
doing
the first
his
thing that Nick said. He's like, oh, I guess we're not going to have a meeting today, which we do on Mondays and Wednesdays. So.
Our 11:20
I get
meeting.
Off. From Philadelphia. It's hailstorm. I get off. I get off. I get off. I get off.
Now, maybe, are we going to have someone monitoring all day?
Oh, yeah. Maybe, you know, just to see what comes up. We'll find out.
I get off.
Bill on the air today.
No, I'll take us off air.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Pearl Jam's highest charting single to date.
Come on, no. We got to get to... You told me we only have...
I get off.
A couple of minutes here. We got to do the Bizarre File, so let's get right to it.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I get off.
Thank you, Bill. All right, we'll begin with a Florida man story, of course. A 45-year-old Florida man is accused of throwing a bowl of pancake batter at a woman who was making dinner at the time.
What kind of sick bastard does that?
An arrest report says Dwayne Zimmerman was drunk on Friday night when he went on to the porch of a home where the woman was making pancakes.
You know what that is, Preston? That's battery.
It's actually...
Hey! Yeah, it was That's great.
Kind of my punchline
oh,
later
man.
On.
Oh, sorry. Right.
It's okay. He was actually... Well, I'll get to it. Anyhow, an arrest report says Dwayne Zimmerman was drunk Friday night. He went onto the porch of a home where a woman was making pancakes. The woman told deputies that Zimmerman insulted her, and he threw a cooking pan before picking up the bowl of batter and tossing it at her. The bowl missed the woman, but was thrown with enough force to break it. Deputies say the woman had pancake batter in her hair, on her clothes, and Zimmerman was arrested on a felony battery charge.
The bowls you stir that stuff up in
I'm
are
sure
pretty thick.
It could have hurt her.
Yeah.
He remained in jail on Monday. Chinese authorities have swooped on a Chinese shrimp importer suspected of smuggling 15,500 metric tons of shrimp as he disembarked a plane at a Beijing airport.
Metric tons of shrimp? How did he do this?
He shoved it down his pants. No, he had done it over several years.
Oh, okay.
So Chinese police and
customs... his parachute pants.
Officials met the suspect, simply named Mr. Zhao, at the gate as he got off a flight from Hanoi, Vietnam. TV news crews from... TV news crews filmed Zhao as he was escorted through the airport by two Chinese officials at his side. He's suspected of smuggling primarily frozen shrimp worth an estimated $133 million into China.
Dear God.
Across the country's southern border with Vietnam over a period of 3 years.
That's staggering.
It's thought that he avoided customs duties to the tune of like $10 million. The arrest is the latest in a series of actions by Chinese authorities targeting smugglers who bring seafood across the border between Vietnam and China to avoid Chinese customs duties. So he is just one of a few that's been caught of this. An enraged man who threatened to kill his wife told officers that he had been, and I quote, doing meth and pleasuring myself all day and it feels great.
Ah.
Is according to...
you got to do what you love in life.
Bangor, Maine police said so. Police...
You know, if you do meth all day and pleasure yourself, you'll never work a day in your life.
Police were called Sunday evening.
My dad told me that.
Yeah.
To the couple's
son,
home.
Do lots of meth and spank it all day and you'll never work a day in your life.
And you'll never have to brush your teeth either.
Eric Fernack's wife ran out to officers in a panic and said her husband was out of control and threatened to kill her. The 46-year-old Fernack walked out of the house in a state of rage and was screaming as he came towards officers.
I'm trying to do meth and pleasure myself.
He was told he would be shocked with a stun gun if he did not allow follow officers' orders. He reportedly got onto the ground while saying he had been doing meth and pleasuring himself all day, and it feels
Can I
great.
Get on the ground on my back because I'd like to continue pleasuring myself.
Fernack was handcuffed, and police said it appeared that he was highly under the influence of a controlled substance.
You made me drop my meth.
His wife told officers he appeared to be under the influence when he came home early Sunday morning when the woman came in about at 5:30 p.m. He was outside the home and screamed at his wife to get into the house.
My dogs are barking. I can't wait to start doing meth and pleasure myself.
All right, and then we'll have time for one more quickie, right, Case? And then we got to wrap it up?
Yes.
Or is it too late?
No, hurry up.
Okay.
Just do the meth.
Police have been mulling the possible reasons for why someone would steal a dog poop bin from a seaside resort. This is in England. It was unscrewed from its mounting and taken at Fisherman's Cove in East Portlemouth, Devon, sometime between Tuesday and Wednesday. Officers are looking for leads to locate the bin, but not its contents.
Oh, look here, free container of pudding.
Yes. There you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Kathy, give me a number. Call it for that secret text word.
Six.
All right, caller six, man. You get a shot at winning free Dunkin' Ice coffee for a year. You got to know the secret text word. 215-263-WMMR. We'll be right back and get our winner. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Beastie Boys on 93.3 WMMR. So what you want? Want a year of free iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Well, we can give that away. Caller number six right now. We can do that very thing. So we're going to go to the phones. Caller number six happens to be Alicia. Hi there, Alicia.
Hi, Preston.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great now.
Excellent. Could you use some coffee?
Absolutely. With a 7-month-old baby.
Give me the word and we'll give it to you for a year. What is today's secret text word?
Official.
Official. And you are officially the winner. Yeah. All right. Nice job, Alicia. The official coffee of the Preston and Steve show is Dunkin', of course. So we now have Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year for you, Alicia. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
You sound like you need coffee.
Oh, my God. You need coffee. Yeah.
Alicia,
I actually already have those coffee this morning. I need some more, though.
All right. Fair enough.
Try the mocha when you get a chance. I had it this morning. It's delicious.
Hang on the line. We'll get your information. Also, don't forget for throughout March, as much as fun as St. Patrick's Day was, you can still celebrate with Irish cream coffee and mint brownie donuts. Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And don't forget, we still have... Are they still out there? Do we know? Am I know? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dunkin' Cruiser is still here. One Bala Plaza. Free coffee. Free iced coffee, I should say, for the first day of spring. So if you want to swing by today, grab it. They got... I believe 9-ounce cups of the mocha and also of the trefoil.
I must have had that as well. It has it's like a shortbread taste to it,
That's
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So trefoil.
It was really good.
The trefoil cookies from Girl Scouts are just the kind of kind of vanilla plain ones. They're some of my favorites.
Well, then they nailed it. That's a good taste.
So come by. Not sure how long they're going to be here, but they are here now. We are going to do the lesson question for today, and we're going to give away this morning a pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman at the Met, and that is coming up on November 2nd. So, let's go with this particular question. What is the name of the family in Kathy's Irish ancestry? I guess it should be, well...
I don't remember it.
What? I don't know quite how to word this. What is the name from a very big relative in Kathy's Irish ancestry?
I think people will get it, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember.
It's a special voice, as Steve does. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, this morning is brought to you by the AC Beer and Music Fest. Listen up, craft beer lovers, foodies, and fans of the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival. The AC Beer and Music Fest is hosting the first ever Atlantic City Beer Week. March 25th through the 31st, you can visit acbeerfest.com for more information. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Peloton Bikes being sued by several publishing companies claiming they're using music in their online spin classes that they haven't acquired the rights to. Peloton denies the charges, saying most people use the bikes to hang their clothes on.
Oh, my God.
The University of Michigan gymnastics coach, who was arrested for having sex in public with one of his gymnasts, was slapped with just a fine on Monday. 39-year-old Scott Vettere says he's furious with the light sentence, noting that the court just blew his one chance to star in a Dateline episode. And finally, Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale seen having a steamy makeout session in the back of a taxi cab after leaving the premiere of a movie. At the end of the ride, the driver reportedly waved off the tip, saying his reward was just rubbing one out.
Oh, my God.
That's your Hollywood thing.
All right, so we shall see if you know the answer to the question. What is the name of the family? What is the name of the family and Kathy's Irish ancestry? There we go. I'll go to Nick. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Nick, do you know the answer?
Yeah, it should be O'Manthy.
O'Manthy. Correct. Hang on a second, Nick. We're going to give you tickets to see Nick Offerman at the Met November 2nd. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon via Ticketmaster.com and TheMetPhilly.com. Time to fire up the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, this morning brought to you by Dunkin'. Fuel your day with iced coffee from Dunkin'. Dunkin' now has $2 medium iced coffee all day long. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, participation may vary, and a limited time offer. Former Slipknot guitarist Donnie Steele has spoken out in defense of the band's percussionist Chris Fenn, who sued the group last week over what he alleged was unfair compensation during his 20 years with the outfit. Slipknot officially fired him on Monday, although his ouster was reportedly in the works for several months. We reported on this yesterday. Steele, by the way, a founding member of Slipknot, left before they recorded the first album. He returned for a brief period to play bass on tour from behind the stage following the death of bassist Paul Gray in 2010. And he since deleted a Facebook post that was screen captured and posted on the Slipknot Reddit page. Steele seemingly wrote about Fenn saying, LOL, don't blame him. Nobody likes to get lied to and ripped off. I know firsthand. Hmm. He added, and most of them can't write. In the 3 years I toured with him, I actually spent more time in writing sessions and the studio than I did on the road, all done behind other members' back. That's how they roll.
Sounds like someone else is leaving the band.
No, he's been gone.
Well, then I was right.
So Corey Taylor wrote in a separate post that he and percussionist Sean Crahan, who Fenn singled out in his lawsuit, had been wrongfully accused by their former bandmate. Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich recently celebrated the 30th anniversary of the band's first ever concert by sharing the only photo he could find of the drum kit that he used at the show, plus the set list and his diary entry from that day. Concert took place March 14th, 1982 at Radio City in Anaheim, California, just months before Metallica made its recording debut on the first Metal Massacre compilation. The show featured the band's then lineup: James Hetfield on vocals, Dave Mustaine on guitar, Ron McGovney on bass, and Ulrich on drums. And the band played mostly covers and drew 75 people to the show. The set included only two original tunes, Hit the Lights and Jump in the Fire. At the time of the gig, Hetfield had not yet started playing rhythm guitar while singing. Lars wrote on Instagram, 37 years ago today, March 14th, 82, the Metallica played our first live show ever at a joint called Radio City in Anaheim, California. And as you can tell from the notes in my diary, it was my first gig ever, and I was very nervous. This incarnation of the band recorded several demos, including the legendary No Life Till Leather and Power Metal tapes. McGovney was replaced by Cliff Burton, by the end of 1982, and Mustaine was dismissed in April of 83 and replaced by Kirk Hammett.
What's the oldest picture you have of the Image? Do you have a lot of Image paraphernalia? Not paraphernalia, but
pictures,
photographs and stuff. Do you really?
Tons of them.
We only just see the one with you with the high hair.
Yeah, those were the official
publicity shots.
Yeah, publicity shots. But I've got tons of pictures up. I'll bring some in sometime. Yeah. Let you guys see them. The lineup of Woodstock 50 has officially been announced, and as previously rumored, the rock portion of the bill includes The Killers, The Lumineers, Raconteurs, Robert Plant, The Head and the Heart, Black Keys, Greta Van Fleet, Portugal the Man, Rival Sons, Imagine Dragons, Cage the Elephant, Young the Giant, Judah and the Lion, and more.
Well, that's a pretty good lineup.
Other major artists include Miley Cyrus, Santana, John Fogerty, Run the Jewels, Maggie Rogers, John Sebastian, Dead and Company, Chance the Rapper, Sturgill Simpson, Leon Bride's Dawes, Margo Price, Country Joe and the Fish, Halsey, Brandy Carlisle.
Okay, they fleshed it out.
Janelle Monáe, Common, Vince Staples, Canned Heat, and others. And acts like Canned Heat and John Sebastian actually played the original festival.
You know who you left out?
Mm-mm.
Last Minute Edition.
House
our favorite a cappella singing group.
The Gibbons Kids.
Oh.
The Gibbons Kids.
Oh, the Gibbons Kids. I thought you were going River Valley Vocal Band. No.
I thought you were going Hasselhoff.
There's so many different ways you can go.
Yeah. You know, so MMR posted this on the Instagram account for WMMR yesterday, and a lot of the reaction was really and immediately negative. And
really?
And I think it's a pretty great lineup. And I was wondering if people respond that way just to respond negatively on a social media post, or if people genuinely don't like it. Because to me, it looks like a pretty cool variety of a lot of different types of genres of music.
Well, and you pointed out, Preston, that the original Woodstock was sort of an eclectic mix.
Yeah.
There was actually folk and bluegrass and... Sure. And Sha-na-na.
Yeah, there were, you know, the big names of the time, like The Who and Jimi Hendrix and all that. But there were also some kind of newer acts and folky things that were in there. Trying to think of some off the top of my head, Steve. Crosby, Stills, and Nash Young, I mean, they were huge, but they came out and played. That might have been one of their first live performances.
That was the first. I think that was the first.
First live performance.
I think it was their second gig overall ever.
Everybody, where Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young?
Who was it? Alice's Restaurant was his name.
Oh,
Arlo Guthrie.
Arlo Guthrie played, you know? I mean, so I think he did, didn't he?
Didn't he?
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look at the original.
I know President Benjamin Franklin kicked off the festivities.
But we've seen that guy play guitar. President Benjamin. I didn't even pick up on that. How bad is that?
You know, all the false legends that have arisen over the years with Woodstock.
Yeah. So anyhow, the show... Sorry about that.
You want to have a beer over there?
I dropped the drumstick.
Oh. Yeah. Is that what it sounded like?
I dropped my beer.
Yeah, brewski time.
The show will take place in Watkins Glen, New York, 150 miles west of the original site, on the weekend of August 16th through the 18th and 50th anniversary of the original Woodstock. Nick, maybe it's this, because I see a little bit of that. Why not some of the big, big acts? Why not Foo Fighters? Why not Pearl Jam? Why not The Who? You know, with the old guard and the new. There are some good bands there for sure. But I don't hear any real juggernauts. You know what I mean? This is Woodstock.
Do you know why I think that? It just may be a financial issue, a constraint to get those heavy hitters in there.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who say, you know, why isn't Hendrix playing it? Why isn't?
He's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. If you're going to go to the obvious.
When there are texts or posts that say this is an absolute disgrace to the name Woodstock, it's trash, I hope they lose money, it's never going to be the original Woodstock.
Do you know why they picked Watkins Glen, by the way? The person furthest from the stage of the original Woodstock was in Watkins Glen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so they chose that. No, but I see the argument, but I also don't see the necessity. But there again, it's social media.
Right.
I don't see the necessity to say what a travesty and... You know, slap in the face, and it's just a pile of, it's like a big pile of dirt.
pile of dirt. By the way, I think Saturday's lineup is amazing. I think it's a great lineup.
It's amazing.
It, yeah.
Okay.
Amaze balls.
Let's see what's amazing here. Dead and Company, Chance the Rapper, The Black Keys, Sturgill Simpson, Greta Van Fleet, Portugal the Man, Leon Bridges, Gary Clark Jr., Edward Sharp, and the Magnificent Zeros.
Magnetic Zero.
Magnetic Zeros.
And they are a magnificent band.
Maleficent Zeros.
David Crosby and Friends, Dawes, Margot Price, Mako and Medicine for the People, India Ari, Jade Bird, no, you lost me.
Well, the Rival Sons.
Rival Sons.
Country Joe McDonald.
They keep going there.
Emily King.
Well, Country Joe is at the original, right?
Oh, Soccer Mommy's playing.
Yay!
Well, all right.
All right, kids, now you call me when you're done.
They don't have Pearl, but they don't have Pearl Jam, but they have Pearl.
Pearl's playing.
And then after that is Jam. So the two, there's other two bands Preston playing. They're the Beat and the Ols.
So you think it's amazing?
I think the second the Saturday lineup is a really great lineup.
You know what I want to see though? It's last on the list on that Saturday lineup. I want to see Anne Moore.
You want to see what?
Anne Moore.
And more.
That's right. Says
Anne Moore. They're playing every single night.
Marissa.
I agree. I think this lineup is awesome. I tweeted out that it's 70% kick-ass, 30% groovy, and it's pretty awesome.
Are you going? Yeah,
we'll
you're going.
See. I also ended that tweet saying, "And I'm 100% there." But we'll see. But I also found out that there is another concert happening the same weekend in Bethel Woods that is Ringo Starr and his band, Arlo Guthrie, Edgar Winter,
right.
Santana, and the Doobie Brothers.
Okay.
So they're having, like, all of those original bands are going, kind of throwing their own.
Mm-hmm. Although Santana is playing it.
Yeah, so he's going to do both.
Those okay. That concert will start at noon and it'll be over at 6.
Yes, exactly.
Did you just say he?
Is everybody sleepy?
So is Santana the band?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a big band.
That.
There's a lot of people in it.
Well, not Santana the band. Santana the house painters, of course.
No, she meant just Carlos. She goes, he is going to be there. No, Santana is a group. It's not just Carlos.
I don't think I ever knew that. The name Santana references the whole band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You learn stuff.
There you go. All right. So, partial lineup for the event was revealed on Tuesday via a 13-minute video featuring adoptable dogs from Chicago's Paws organization.
Ooh.
The clip promised that the full lineup will be announced soon. Also scheduled to appear at the festival are Tame Impala, Janelle Monáe, Lil Wayne. And a bunch of other people I don't know.
It's honestly...
Lil Baby, Lil Skies, Lil Wayne, and Madean.
Little bit of this, little bit of that.
Yeah. Oh, maybe Carlos Santana will play that song. Little bit of this, little bit of that. Yeah, because it was Michelle Branch.
And
Carlos Santana.
And Lil Branch will be there, too.
Lil Branch. All right, I'm done. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm done with
you. Bye, get off.
We're going to get off right now. And that is it. We're going to take a break, come back in a second, and hopefully... Bill Weston will be here. He is filling in for Pierre Robert today.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is you don't get this too often, especially in what is kind of prime time.
Yeah, it's a treat. So we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Revivalists and Change on 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. It is about 10:35. This Wednesday morning, about to come to a close for us in just a moment, not before we take care of a few things. First and foremost, Steve, you wanted to mention charity golf outing that you're involved in.
And I appreciate you indulging me on this. It's for Philadoptables, a Max Fund, which is my wife's charity. Charity golf outing at Cedarbrook Country Club. It's Monday, April 8th. 2019. Sign-ups are going okay, but we need some more to make it all work. Cedarbrook is a wonderful country club, and you're getting a whole package that includes green fees, golf cart, hot breakfast from Harvest, lunch buffet, open bar, snacks, beer at the turn, and chance to win a Volvo from Keystone Motors. Ben Stein helping us out from those guys. And all the funds from the event are going to go directly to Philadoptables Activity. They have some cool new stuff working out that's going to help keep animals out of these shelters. And, of course, my wife's charity, Max Fund, is involved with TNR and helping curtail the issue of feral and homeless animals and taking care of those animals with financial resources. So if you are a golf person and a pet person and you could take the day off, find out all the information at philadoptables.org, or it's also on PrestonSteve.com. And thank you for letting me go on and on about pets and stuff.
Most definitely, man. So, and thank you also to our Delilah's girls who came by today. Their Entertainer of the Year competition is tonight. It's a big, big party. Starts at 7 o'clock. So thank you to Cece and Mia and Cassandra for coming by today. We also made a couple of announcements. We have a mixer that's on the way. We are taking online submissions only for this. And you can go to WMMR.com, click on contest. All the information's right there. But we're going to be at the Great American Pub in Conshohocken on April 4th, 6 to 9 p.m. That is correct.
Kathy can basically roll out of bed.
I'm going to roll over and then roll home.
There you go.
Kathy ought to be in rare form that night because she can crawl back to the house. It's presented by Miller Lite. So everything you've always wanted in a beer, more taste and less carbs. So go and sign up for that. And also we mentioned that we're going to be doing the Preston and Steve Daily Rush Madness. It is our Daily Rush videos, 64 of them, handpicked by us, the Preston and Steve Show, seated and matched up and ready to go. It's up to you to vote who beats who and moves on until we get down to one champion.
You know, it's very encouraging, all of the tweets and messages that I'm getting from people about what should be in it. Already in it.
Yeah.
So we the selection process worked. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll play back short clips of those to remind you of some of those in case you don't remember. And we'll have those posted and easy to access so you can vote on them. So we'll begin that tomorrow. So we'll roll out exactly the mechanics of it tomorrow morning. And I think that's, that's all the thank yous. I'll thank our sponsors in a moment. But first, boy, ladies and gentlemen, what a treat. Filling in for Pierre Robert, your midday excursion today will be hosted by the man about town, Bill Weston.
God, talk about setting the bar really low.
When's the last time you've done a music shift?
I did a 6 to 10 Saturday morning show like 5 or 6 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I came in and got off before you guys were up.
And by the way, I remember there was one, you get good feedback. You know, people enjoy hanging around the air, and obviously you're no neophyte to this. So,
I follow the program director's credo. It's called Tight and Bright.
Tight and Bright.
How long were you a jock?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe 10 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it most of that in Buffalo?
Most of that was Love Lines, Nick.
I did Top 40 in Erie, the worst 2 years of my life. I did a couple years on a rock station in Buffalo, best years of my life. And then started getting into programming because I realized I was an okay jock, but I was probably a better programmer.
Okay. Yeah, you're a great programmer. I have a question about, so, you know, we have this thing, it's called the Zeta system, which is the software system that has all the music and commercials and all this stuff. You know how to run it pretty well?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. There's the amount of dead air that Pierre manages to eke out of that system?
Because, truth be told, I couldn't run this. There's no way. Casey does all the, I just hit the buttons to put everything in motion. If I had to do this on my own, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, yeah, Pancake will
be. I don't do it enough. But Pancake, you got a great producer.
Yeah, and you know what?
Following you up there.
Chuck schedules a lot of stuff, and Todd in promotions. And if you don't change it, if you kind of run it the way it's supposed to run, you don't have to do a whole lot. Just stop it and start it, right?
So, now, are you going to do your usual War of the Roses and Hot Girl Check-In?
I'm going to be celebrating National French Bread Day. What is it, like Baguette Day?
We got these 19-foot loaves of French bread out in the green room, plus chocolate chip cookies the size of manhole covers.
You know what? It's also National Ravioli Day. So
we're
going to
be a big block of songs about ravioli, right, at 12 noon. And
we're Warren, and we love ravioli.
A 10-minute version of Bill's Bulletin.
Oh,
instead
wow.
of Pierre's Planner?
Bill's Bulletin.
No, we're not going we're not doing that.
Bill's Bulletin. I like that.
Oh, boy.
We're going to play a lot of music.
And Bill's then the Bulletin Fun Report.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Weston with the Bill's Bulletin.
good evening, Mr. America.
Ships
at sea.
This one goes out to Lottie in Kansas, who's having her hip replacement surgery today. Lottie, we're pulling for ya.
Do you want me to run sound effects for you?
No, it's good. I will, in honor of Chester Bennington's birthday today, we'll get some Linkin Park on. We're going to do some blocks for The Clash, one of my favorite bands ever. Since we missed out on World Clash Day a couple weeks ago, we're going to make up for it today in a big block of Clash.
Did you ever see The Clash perform live?
I did not.
That is one of my greatest concert experiences.
Oh, yo, I did see them.
Oh, yo.
My God.
Oh, yo.
I just realized I did see The Clash.
Really? Like, you just blocked it out of your favorite band, and you blocked it out of your mind?
It was at a stadium. They were at part of a stadium tour with The Who.
That was that's when I saw
it. It was David Johansen, yes. And then The Clash, and then The Who.
Yeah.
So
that was very Rocky Five. It was like a million Rattlers.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
David Johansen?
Yeah.
He had Buster Poindexter?
Before he became Buster Poindexter.
Yeah.
He had a medley of Animals hits.
I remember.
It was like a 6-minute
It was actually pretty good.
And it made AOR charts.
I'll treat you real fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was his claim to fame. After
we
left the New York Dolls.
Get out of this place.
Yeah,
that's right. He did
it
that.
It is the last thing we ever do.
Interesting.
So, blocks of Metallica, Dave Matthews Band, and we have this really cool giveaway for the Black Keys, where we're giving away tickets to see the Black Keys, and you qualify a trip to fly down to Miami and see them in concert later this year.
Okay. By the way, we got a score, and a listener said B-plus on the crossover.
Wow.
B-plus,
that's not bad.
I'll take that any day.
We do have to do the letter of the day. You ready?
Yes, right, I am.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
R, as in rapacious.
All right. So we got an R, and we got two more letters to go, and a trip for four to the premiere of WB Shazam, which is Thursday, March 28th at the TLC Chinese Theater in L.A. Shazam hits theaters on April 5th. I'm going to take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International. Also brought to you by Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you're going to enjoy massage chairs, hydro massages, tanning, and more. And also, Hyundai City, the spring savings at Hyundai City are heating things up. Shop the deals at HyundaiCity.com. Tomorrow on the program, we begin, like I said, Daily Rush Madness.
Yes.
We also have the Sons of Ben in studio. I don't know how we're going to do that because there's like 2,000 of them. Maybe they'll do a smaller contingent of Sons of Ben. But they have
illegitimate Sons of Ben.
They have a cool thing they're going to do for us, I've heard.
Oh, cool.
So of course, that's with the Philadelphia Union, so those guys will be stopping in. I'm sure we'll have many other things to get to. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. Enjoy the dulcet tones of Bill Weston in Mad About Town next. We'll see you later, guys. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
In this day and age, I can't believe I am still dealing with men who ghost. Why can't you just grow some balls and say to someone, it's not going to work?
Next message.
I love you.
Next message.
Why do people insist on walking or running or doing whatever in the middle of the street when there's a sidewalk? Get out of the middle of the street, you asshole!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333. MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.